I think they like you, Steve.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Good morning, Chicago. 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, Steve Cochran Show. Ready to roll this morning. Help you with your commute if you're getting to work, staying home, enjoying this beautiful summer morning. Whatever it is, we got you. Mary Sandberg's here. Dave Bennett. Joanne Jeanette's in for Mary Vandeveld all week. Steve Rozanich is here. Steve's on his way. We got lots to do today. Of course, going to keep you updated on what's happening with the extraction from the cave in Thailand. The boys' soccer team that's been trapped there for what seems like months. The extraction plan continues as they race against time and weather and the elements. We'll get to that. We have a couple of different things going on this morning to talk and keep you updated on what's happening this morning. Also this morning, we're going to talk Dr. Kevin Most, going to talk healthcare. Big decision, I guess, by the federal government this weekend to stop payment to insurance companies over Obamacare. We're going to talk about that, but also talk a little bit about understanding how healthcare works in 2018.
Yeah, I think we're doing it in a three-part series because it's too much to digest just in one morning.
It's fascinating, the stuff that Dr. Most sent over, just understanding where insurance companies are in 2018 and the implications for what's happening with affordable health care at the federal level. We'll have that conversation. Dr. Most coming up. Jay Chandrasekhar will be here from Super Troopers, Broken Lizard, also director. I just saw Jay's name. We're on a binge right now of Arrested Development. And Jay Chandrasekhar is a big director of that show. And he was his name keeps flashing in front of our eyes every time we skip from episode to episode.
Did you watch that the first time it was out?
I did, yeah.
Okay, so I had a rebinge.
Yeah, we're rebinging. The first two seasons are the best. And then, you know, there are moments from that point on. But Jay Chandrasekhar does a ton of directing television, a lot of sitcoms, great sitcoms and shows. He'll be in studio because Super Troopers 2 comes out on DVD coming out here, I think, this week. People know. A lot more to do today, but, you know, why don't we do this? Why don't we start and get things kicked off with 6 at 6?
In the lovely Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
All right, let's get right to it. The second phase of the cave rescue is underway in Thailand. Yesterday morning, I was watching CBS Sunday Morning, and they said the first four boys were taken out of the cave. And I was like, well, this will be over in 20 minutes. I really had a feel like this. Okay, they're starting. And the idea that it has now been 24 hours and they're starting the second phase of the extraction, that tells you a lot of what you need to know about the house, how difficult this is going to be to extract these kids and their coach from this cave in Thailand.
Well, and I think the one detail they said was that they had to wait for the oxygen to build back up, which is just a crazy concept. I also thought it was nice. They've reported that the players all said they're not mad at their coach for leading them down there. But I wouldn't say I was mad at him while I was still down there either.
Yeah, right. But there's a lot of different phases, I would imagine, of emotions. But right now, watching, you know, yesterday they kind of, and we're going to talk about it all morning, but the pathway that the divers have to take to get the boys from where they're at to the surface is tremendously small.
Yeah.
And very, I mean, we're talking one body being able to slime through a passage, and some of these kids don't swim. Some of these kids are malnourished. It's going to be difficult, especially as the monsoon season begins, and it's a race against time, the elements, oxygen, as you said. Not a great. I mean, it's a harrowing moment, and the whole world's watching. So we'll update that. President Trump described all four of his finalists to replace Justice Anthony Kennedy on the Supreme Court as "quote excellent," adding he was very close to a decision. One of those
Dave Ennett.
Dave Ennett from Chicago.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. I just assume stay here.
I don't know when you might be busy when football and basketball starts.
Well,
to take on that
position. It's all about time management.
The it's funny because looking at it yesterday, I was like, well, this will be interesting. This will be get all ducks in a row. We'll start this up. This is going to be a big decision. Then I read this morning that he's waiting till prime time.
Yeah,
he's going to do it. You know, so it is like The Apprentice.
He wants the big ratings hit.
He wants the ratings hit. You know, that Monday night ratings hit that everybody's dying to get. That lead in, that 2.5 men lead in that he's looking for when he announces the next Supreme Court justice. Not a given that any of those justices will be confirmed, but we'll talk about that this morning as well, about which judge, which nomination has the best chance and what's on the line. The media loves to say it's Roe v. Wade, and that's everything everyone's talking about, but there has to be more than that.
What's that, number three?
Hey, there he is. Quack. At least 100 dead in Japan's floods, with more than 60 people unaccounted for.
Good news is that flooding apparently is not happening around the caves of northern Thailand that you talked about a
minute
ago.
Well, this is a terrible story, and it's one that I think internationally, especially in the United States, is overshadowed by the cave story, of course. But this is, 60 people unaccounted for. I read this morning that they're worried it's getting closer to 100.
100, yeah.
I don't know where in Japan, do you?
Don't know.
I don't know Japan. Dave, were you in Japan?
I was not in Japan, Steve.
Seems
I've
like
never
all
been
over
there.
The world.
I'm hoping to go.
Next, World Cup semis tomorrow. Belgium, France, who you got?
Belgium for Mary.
Well, she's on vacation this week.
That's where she's at.
So France?
Know. I'm going France, yeah. I don't
France have to
France
is really
face
good.
Her.
And France, England would be a better story. It's an ancient story.
What a great story. France and England.
Croatia, Belgium, that's like...
Yeah.
You know, Seattle, Tampa Bay. I mean, you know, the country doesn't care.
Okay.
You know who's in Croatia right now? David Kaplan.
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
Tweeting pictures and watching.
Let me just pause for a second and say, why?
I don't know. Because he heard Dave was going to Norway, so he upped it and went to Croatia.
Lord, stay home. Next. Dave is live at the All-Star Game, which apparently won't be played till tomorrow night.
Actually, till next Tuesday.
Oh, it's next Tuesday.
I decided to get here real early, Steve.
All right,
I like
Cubs.
To travel. Javier Baez, well-deserved.
Well-deserved.
Wilson Contreras, well-deserved.
Okay.
And John Lester.
Mostly for his hitting?
Yes.
For John Lester? Yes.
Well,
yes.
We were talking last week, right after the 4th of July, the day before the voting ended. Javi Baez was third in voting.
He was well behind, and you're kind of thinking, he's going to make the team, but he's not going to get voted in as a starter.
I'd like to take a little bit of credit for that.
I
spent a good 3 or 4 minutes while, you guys were traversing across the country. I was sitting here talking about the merits of Javi Baez. And I think that the nation, not just the city, the nation listened.
Since we're the White Sox station, what'd you do for Jose Abreu?
I said, Abreu.
Got him in.
He can fend for himself.
Yeah, but he made it. So Jose Abreu will start for the American League at first base. That is a week from tomorrow here at Nationals Park in Washington. Reporting live back to you in Chicago, Dave Ennett, WGN Sports.
You should stay in the studio for 10 minutes, Mr. Global Traveler.
I'd like to.
And live to Nashville, Mary.
Marry me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mary in the room.
I'm sorry, yes. Last night was the premiere of Very Cavallari.
Wasn't it in Nashville?
It was, they're in Nashville. Out. And Jay Cutler is Kristen's husband, and he was fabulous.
He's a star.
He was completely disinterested, indifferent to everything going on, and that's how we want him. At the end, he did complain about the size of the meat that was served. He ordered the wild game medium rare, and it came out, and it looked like a small petite filet. And he said, "Where's the rest of my meat?"
But if you're doing a reality show, wouldn't you want Pat, your husband, to be interested at all?
I don't know.
Or you don't care.
No, I think.
No, this is really great.
Here's my take on it: is that I always thought him to be indifferent and cold and calculating as a football player.
I recognize that.
But he's a bro. He's got a backwards hat, and he's more like, "Duh, what's up?"
Vanderbilt. How stupid could he be?
He comes across very dopey.
Kristen said,
"Which is great. I love it."
Kristen said that during his downtime, he watches deer cameras, you know, deer's feeding on deer
feeders.
Apparently
Justin's right, 619. And that's your top six and six.
That's all today for the top six and six.
No more!
Watch
sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Tom Rivers on the Thai cave rescue underway again today, and a fifth child appears to have been saved. More on that in a moment.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Tom Rivers joins us. Tom Rivers from ABC News. All right, Tom, do we have a fifth child saved at this point that we're at least think is that's accurate?
Yeah, we definitely do. My colleague Matt Gutman saw an ambulance leave the cave entrance about an hour ago, and then our second crew, we have what's called the old airport, where they transfer from a ambulance to a chopper to another ambulance. And the hospital now confirms that official. Yes, boy number five is there and being treated, and we're waiting for number six very, very soon.
Yesterday, we heard about a group of four coming out. I assume they don't come out together, but have they changed the method today, or it's just we're hearing about it differently?
I think they're stuck with a strategy that works. They're keeping it the same lead team that was very successful yesterday. They got some rest, and they're doing the actual A to B work again today. And when, fingers crossed, they're successful again today, they go out, they get some rest, and while they're doing that, there are about 90 divers, international and Thai divers, that go in, make sure the ropes are in place, checking the water level, checking lights in some locations, and, of course, replacing those oxygen canisters so that if this thing follows suit, meaning that tomorrow we're going to get the third group out, everything is in place, and they're trying to make it as safe as it possibly can in a pretty dangerous situation.
The kids, we were told, are strapped to these divers. It's hard for us to picture what we don't see. And we think of caves, I think, mostly as caves that we see on TV, where you walk in the front of a cave and there's an opening and all this. These are very small openings.
Very small openings, some bottlenecks. In fact, some of them are totally underwater. Some of them, there are pockets where they can raise their heads up and they can get a sense of, they get some air and they get a sense of at least, you know, where they are. But in some of these tight, confined areas, you're right. The lead diver will be carrying the tank for the boy who just has a respirator on, and he's also tethered to a diver behind him. So if there's any problems, disorientation in these totally flooded areas, very narrow areas, the two divers hopefully can deal with the situation and move the boy along, just telling the kid, just don't tense up. We're going to yank you through nice and slow and get to the next pocket of air.
Tom, so much has been made of the weather report. We've heard that in all the stories have been coming out about the monsoon season starting. Where are we at with that? Does it seem that the forecasts have been accurate?
Yeah, they've been accurate. They're very, very concerned yesterday. Heavy, heavy rain yesterday, and the pumps that have been in place for over a week have been doing their job. Okay, so today they checked again because it is only cloudy today, and all the water that came down into the cave network yesterday has been all pumped out. So in essence, no change whatever in the water level, and that's a good thing, because if that had been rising dramatically, they couldn't go with one group a day. They're going to have to go, you know, one group after another, and that would be fraught with even more danger.
So as we understand it, this is water coming off the mountain that just by way of where the cave is located, you can't stop it from flowing in?
It percolates in. There's a couple of creeks up on the top of the mountain, which they have they blocked off. But again, everything else that hits the ground, it's going to find its way through the nooks and crannies into that cave network. And as I say, they've got a lot of pumps doing their job now just to lower, if possible, but at least maintain the level. And they've got rudimentary yardsticks, various locations in the cave itself, and they're just eyeballing it, saying, look, it's holding. The pumps are doing their job.
Last question, and this is not a blame question. This is an understanding question. This is so hard to get out of. What do we know of why they went that deep into it?
Oh, you know, with the 25-year-old coach, the kids have a practice soccer field very nearby, and it's probably something like, you know, if there's something in your neighborhood, you know, you know that it's there, and they wanted to check it out after their practice, and they made the wrong decision. You know, they should have, you know, A, not gone in, or B, got out of there very quickly. For whatever reason, they kept going back and back and back, 2.5 miles back into this cave network until last Monday when those three British divers poked their heads up and said, my God, they're all here.
Tom Rivers, ABC News, thank you.
Thank you.
Tom Rivers in London, on the phone and online constantly with ABC reporters.
See, he said that tomorrow,
in northern Thailand.
Tomorrow would be the third group. So today would be the second group. Is this the second group, the one kid?
I don't think so. I just think yesterday we heard about four at a time because it was a surprise we're getting them out. I think they can only do one at a time, and it's probably a, I don't know, how would you describe it, a caravan? A caravan of these kids? Imagine the fear, though, of these kids. Because apparently a good portion of this walk is holding onto a rope, and they're underwater. And you can't see anything. They said it's like walking through soup.
The only thing that might be playing in their favor is the fact, as what Tom just said, which is news to me. I did not know that, that they are locals and the soccer field was close by. So they may have some understanding of what they're involved in.
How do you think that coach feels? Coach is going, hey, guys, you want to do something cool? Let's go take a walk in here. And they take a walk in there, and suddenly the water is up to a place where they can't get out.
Well, when they do the Barbara Walters special, when he gets out and he gets his 1 hour couch time, we'll find out the story. Right?
The letters that were written were heartbreaking, but the coach wrote a letter to the parents apologizing. And I certainly hope that people aren't going to come down and hard on this kid. He made a mistake. That's it.
If the, I think, you know, obviously people will be forgiving if the kids come out and everyone is alive. If there are casualties in this case, I think there might be a different situation.
6:28, almost 6:29. We'll take a break. Coming back with Dr. Kevin Most, Medical Monday on 720 WGN.
He's Northwestern Medicine DP. Call Dr. Most right now. Most.
6:41 now, and Dr. Kevin Most joins us as he does every Monday. Doctor sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, where you work. The pursuit of better health care starts here. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Well, I just got back from a 1,400-mile road trip, and I'm feeling like I have a hangover, and I don't drink. So does that sound sensible to you, Doctor?
Yeah, it does. I mean, that is pretty stressful, and people, when they drive and they drive long distance, it is very stressful on their body. They don't even realize it.
I blame Indiana.
Like you, with the history.
I blame Indiana, you know, because Indiana's really wide.
And I'm sure you don't let anyone else drive, right?
Actually, the morning drive an hour.
An hour of the whole 1,400 miles?
Yeah.
Aren't that big of you?
Yeah. Well, I had to sleep. I was dozing off at the wheel. The other thing is, Doc, I think I have hotel cough. Is this a real thing? Because I slept in like three different hotels, and now I've got this sore throat and a cough.
You can. It's not so much, you know, like kennel cough that dogs get, but...
don't they have shots for that, Doc?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the dirty Dave Savini remote.
Yeah, right.
That's where you got it.
I hadn't thought about that.
Hotel rooms are not clean. I mean, they're not as bad as airlines, but they can't clean the rooms as well as they should.
Do I have mange, possibly? Do I have
mange? Yeah, mange is right up there. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Again, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, Doc. What's on the agenda this morning?
You know, I wanted to talk a little bit about healthcare costs. You know, we know that the cost of healthcare in the United States is way higher than every other country. And yet, do we get the value out of that cost? And, you know, some people argue no. You know, our life expectancy is about in the middle of the road when you look at life expectancy around the world.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where do people live the longest?
Oh, gosh. I mean, Japan. I mean, there are countries that do extremely well with life expectancy, and their cost for health care is well below ours.
So we're going in the wrong direction.
Well, yeah, we're definitely going in the wrong direction as costs are continuing to go up. You know, it's unsustainable. You can't spend 17% of your gross domestic product on health care and continue to sustain that. So definitely we need to make some changes. And, you know, us in the medical field haven't been making the changes as quickly as people want. So now you're starting to see individuals make it with consumerism. You're starting to see insurance companies make it with some of the restrictions that they're doing.
Well, the insurance companies blame you guys, and you guys say the insurance companies could play nicer. So is the truth somewhere in the middle?
Yep, absolutely. Yep. You know, the insurance companies are for profit. They need profit. They need to show their shareholders that they're returning on their investment. Hospitals, on the other side, for the vast majority of hospitals, are non-for-profit. Certainly, they make a profit, but they take those profits and they don't pay shareholders. They reinvest that back into the hospital and back into the community. And that's what people don't understand sometimes. They'll look and say, oh, my gosh, Hospital X, you made $40 million last year. No, that $40 million now allows them to go back and buy a new CAT scanner, to buy a new electronic medical record, to keep the place up and running.
Dr. Most, this weekend we saw that the Trump administration took that decision in New Mexico and determined to stop making payments to insurance companies over a very specific part, the risk part of affordable health care and the Obamacare. The question at hand, and I think this plays right into what we're talking about, is that it seems that the federal government, at least this administration, believes that if the government got out of healthcare, if it's on its own and it's just part of capitalism as we know it, will correct itself because the costs will be competitive and we will all get better healthcare because the market drives it. Do you agree with, is that a sentiment as we start to talk about affordable healthcare that do you agree with that sentiment?
No. As clear as that. But what Justin's talking about, for those of you who aren't clear what happened this weekend, was we have a program in the Affordable Care Act that's called the Risk Adjustment Program. I'll just give you a simple example to make it hit home. You have two insurance companies that are in the marketplace offering insurance to everyone in your state, we'll say. One ends up having very low-risk patients. One ends up having very high-risk patients. What would happen there is the government would say, okay, we're going to balance these payments a little bit here to make sure that that company that took the high-risk patients gets some more money. The one with the low-risk patients, we're going to take some of the money for you because the individuals are paying the same premium. So what happens when that risk adjustment portion goes away, now we have this disruption of, oh, my gosh, the company that took the high-risk patients, I'm going to need to charge more next year. The one that took the low-risk patient said, you know what, if he's going to charge more, I get to charge more as well. So the consumer actually gets hurt in this situation. And the bad thing is the timing of this. Right now, at this time of the year, companies are deciding, am I going to go into the marketplace, and what am I going to set my rates? With this decision right now, you're going to see an increase in rates.
And that's on, but some believe that that's on purpose, that's a way.
Absolutely.
To, yeah, that's the idea. Yep.
Okay, so where's the balance? Where's the balance between deciding who gets tests and who pays for the tests and people dying?
Yeah, and you know, one other thing before I get to that about the ACA and this decision, we have to realize that a lot of people that are going to the marketplace for their insurance are the very vulnerable people in our population. Those are the people living paycheck to paycheck that now have been told you must have insurance and you must go out and get insurance. So if we increase their rates, then we're going to be a little bit concerned. But to your point, Steve, now the insurance companies are starting to get into saying, you know what, Dr. Most, you wanted this test done on this patient? We don't think that that's right yet. Or we want to look at your records to see what decision-making process you made before you decided to order this test. So we're getting, you know, people have all probably heard of pre-authorization. And what that is the insurance company physicians are looking at our records and saying, okay, yeah, you had a patient with low back pain, you treated them with anti-inflammatories, you treated them with physical therapy, okay, we'll approve that MRI. Versus you got a patient from the emergency room who had back pain and you want to do a $6,000 MRI now? I don't think so. Let's make sure you do conservative things first. Because we know that 90% of people with back pain will get better on conservative measures instead of jumping to this expensive test.
All right, we'll come back with more of this. But, Doc, when my mother had rheumatoid arthritis back in the 80s, in the early days of HMOs, I remember thinking, why is the person at the insurance company playing doctor and deciding what tests and care she gets or doesn't get? So we'll pick that up in a second. Back with Dr. Kevin Most. We'll pick up where we left off at the break in a second. Samrick, say hi to Dr. Most.
Good morning.
Hi, Mayor.
Doc Most sends me videos of his three golden retrievers.
They're good-looking dogs.
They are. Yeah. And they were tearing up a sand trap.
Don't say that too loud.
On a golf course.
Oh, don't say that too loud. It's the kind of thing I'll get the golf police coming to Doc's house this morning.
Cutest things ever. So, Doc, I have a question for you about the insurance. Right now, we always talk about this with our kids, how everyone's being raised to think that they are so special and individual and unique and whatever. for the as far as insurance goes and how you're treated and the insurance companies kind of dictating a path, for the generally healthy person, is just following the protocol that insurance thinks you should do, is that actually a legitimate way to go about things? Like, for the most of us, I'm not talking about anybody that has other things coming up, but
you're talking about following the guidance.
If we fall in line, yeah, we, you know, you said you want me to do this and do this blood test, you know, that all
read
works.
Read their emails.
The average person, does that work? Do I really need all this personal care that I think I need?
You know, it works. The difficult thing is that we live in a society now of I want it now and I need it now. Mm-hmm. And we struggle with that as physicians, because often the person says, well, I hurt my knee. I want an MRI of my knee. And it's hard to argue with them sometimes. You know, you don't want to argue with patients that are now going to go online and say you're a bad doctor or a good doctor. So sometimes the path of least resistance is going to say, okay, let's get that test. When in fact we could say, all right, I don't think you did any major damage to the inside of your knee. Let's put you in a brace right now. Let's put you ice it. Let's put you on anti-inflammatories, and let's see what happens over the next 2 weeks. Let's see if it starts to lock up or any other problems. So conservative medicine is definitely going to have to come back, but as patients have to realize that we're going to accept conservative treatment now instead of jumping to the extreme at points.
Well, but is that, again, I don't want this to come down to fault, but if the ultimate goal here is for the patient to be healthy, I take you back to what I said before the break, is I don't want the insurance company deciding what the diagnosis and the treatment are. I want you to decide that.
Correct. And the insurance company is going to say, I am going to try to limit the cost as much as I possibly can. That's one thing that insurance companies do. I am going to slow pay the doctors. That's another thing that they do. What they're trying to do is hold on to that money because they need shareholders. And we need insurance. I'm not saying that this is insurance companies are bad. They definitely serve a need that we have in this community. But we certainly should respect the physician. And if you have outlier physicians that go to extremes, okay, let's talk to those guys. But for the mainstream of physicians, let's allow them to make decisions and not someone sitting in an office in New York.
Doc Most, how do you see that playing out? Talk about white bagging versus brown bagging, this concept that the insurance companies may find different ways to be efficient than they have in the past.
Yeah, there's three things that are really impact that are happening right now that are going to impact how healthcare is delivered in the future and what you're going to expect from your hospitals in the future. And you talk about white bagging and brown bagging. We all know what brown bagging is, right? Hey, boy, I don't want to buy my lunch at work. I am going to bring a brown bag full of food, and I am going to eat my food, which is less expensive than me buying that. Same thing happened. Steve, you had your mom with arthritis. Some big arthritis medications, Humira, Remicade, they need an infusion of medication. What happens is that individual comes to the hospital or a doctor's office, and we hook them up, we give them their infusion, and we charge their insurance company for that episode of care, including the cost of the drug, which is usually the highest cost. The hospital has to mark it up some because we're open 24/7, we take care of people without insurance. There's numerous reasons for that. What insurance companies are now saying is, no, time out. We're going to contract straight with the Remicade company. We are going to send you the drug. You do not need to pay for it. You don't need to keep it in your pharmacy. We're going to send you the drug, and Mrs. Jones is going to come in and use it. You charge us for the room and the IV and the nurse time, but we will take care of the drug portion of it. So when that happens, and that's brown bagging, when brown bagging happens, the patient's actually bringing the drug themselves into the hospital. Now, many hospitals are not going to accept that and allow that because we can't take the liability of, did you keep the medication in the right place? Was it refrigerated? All of that. So that's one that's going to kind of fall aside.
No, that's okay. When you were in medical school, was there a large portion of time spent educating you on how insurance works?
Not at all. Not at all. And there's good things and bad things about that. And even today, when you go to the emergency room, that emergency room doctor should not know what kind of insurance you have. He should be treating you as a patient. He's going to make decisions on your clinical case and your clinical care that you need, not what insurance you have. That being said now, boy, insurance companies are really starting to get into the business, and we really start to need to understand more. You know, two other examples, Justin, that, you know, about where we're steering people. You know, Anthem, which is a large Blue Cross consortium, I think I want to say in 12 states, if I'm not mistaken, they've told their patients, if you're having an outpatient CAT scan or MRI, you cannot have it done at a hospital. You must have it done at a freestanding institution because their costs are so much lower. Those freestanding ones open specific amount of time, configure their schedules out, can accept certain payers, where the hospital has to charge a higher cost. We're open 24/7, maintain those machines, have the staffing there, take care of people without insurance. When insurance companies put us in that position, we are going to lose business. It's going to lose some of our profits. We're not going to be able to invest back into the hospital, and everyone's going to get hurt.
Here's the thing, because it does come down to money at the end of this, but we need cruise directors now to tell us which way to go and who to believe. We've never lived in a more skeptical society, so who are we going to believe? How are we going to know whether to go to the clinic or go to the hospital or go to you? It's just a big bowl of confusion.
You're right. I mean, patient navigators are huge when you look at cancer treatment. You know, we have patient navigators that walk you through the entire process and hold your hand, essentially, because you're having a very devastating illness. Unfortunately, that's a business right now that we need. We need some navigators because the patients are like, I don't understand anything. I see my line, I get my check, and there's a line taken out for insurance. I think I have insurance. But they don't understand exactly what they just purchased often.
Well, there's a thing, you know, and again, I'm like you. I'm a fan of insurance companies. Where would we be without them? Having said that, the system is so upside down because you take somebody at their weakest. They're sick. In a lot of cases, they're elderly. And you say, okay, now what I want you to do before you get the treatment, you really need to be sick. I want you to pick up the phone and I want you to spend 20 or 30 minutes with someone that you're not going to entirely understand because you're in pain. Or I want you to go online and fill out a bunch of forms to do it. What you're talking about is not only a legitimate business. I don't know how we're going to be able to process anything going forward without it.
Right. People don't need their insurance when they first sign up, right? When you go to do your benefits at the end of the year, you sign up for whichever insurance plan you want to sign up for. You don't even think about it until, oh my gosh, I'm in the emergency department, or I am sick, or something happens. Now I need to understand what my insurance is. So we do need that as a business, and whether it's the insurance company that's going to do it, because it's difficult for the hospitals to do it.
But the onus also has to be on us as a patient. That's on me if I didn't look into what insurance I signed up for.
Yeah, but it's not that easy. Not that easy. When you're sick and in pain and you're supposed to go do the insurance doctor dance, I feel for people that have to do it.
Well, that's not when you do it, though. You should be familiar with it.
Oh, okay, but everybody's not you.
No, my wife is...
People don't work ahead.
My wife is extremely efficient in this stuff, and she probably spends hours on the phone with people trying to figure out what's covered, what's not. I mean, it is a very and she's meticulous and she's efficient, and a lot of times I see her, you know, banging her head against the wall.
Doc, when we do this again, because obviously we've barely scratched the surface here, we need to talk about the drug side of this, because you referenced it on several points, but to get a little deeper in that area and how much drug costs are creating a nightmare here, and you know, what the pharmaceutical companies can do to be better at that. And also what hospital groups are doing as more hospitals merge. Hospitals are taking on and sort of inventing their own insurance companies, right?
Some of them are, absolutely. Some are saying, I'm going to have my own insurance plan. Some are partnering with insurance companies to say, we want a narrow network plan that only includes us. Advocate Healthcare is a perfect example. Great hospitals in Chicago, great institutions. They went to Blue Cross and said, we want to partner with you and make our own Advocate Healthcare plan so that those patients know they can come to Advocate hospitals only. So it's kind of interesting that what you're saying here is, as more and more consolidation, what's going to happen? And I think people just need to understand maybe a little bit more about their insurance. You know, like Mary said, it's very difficult when people sign up for their insurance because they're clicking a box and then I'm really not sure what I just agreed to.
For those of you concerned about what the Trump administration's move on shutting down mandatory payments to the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, that'll be court challenged by 9 o'clock this morning. So we'll see what happens there.
Yep.
And Doc, we will continue. Obviously, it's a big discussion. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better healthcare starts here. Happy Monday.
Thanks, Doc.
You got it, man. Talk to you guys soon.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio,
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
7:11 in the morning. Just back from road trip. It's a lot of time in the car. I highly recommend it. You know, it's a law in this country. You have to take a road trip with your family every summer. And I like to play a game where you roll the windows up super tight and turn the heat on. Last person to pass out gets to go to Dairy Queen. I mean, it's that kind of fun that you can have in the car. But in the meantime, Dave is back from a much more exciting trip than I had. Dave's back from Norway, and he's just passed out snacks from Norway. Now, I assume, Justin, you and Dave talked about this when he got back last week.
Well, sort of. I just ignored it.
So, Dave, I don't know.
That's not true.
I don't know what you handed me, but it doesn't smell great.
It smells like.
It's like, well, oh, Dave's back.
It's, I don't know, Steve. I mean, I think it's something you might like. It's
are these
authentic.
Elk chips? What are they?
Okay, well, there's an assortment for you.
If you could just describe, they're like little slices of pepperoni on toothpicks. He actually put a toothpick through each one on our plate.
And they're right. Color-coded.
Color-coded,
they're
yeah.
Color-coded.
Oh.
All right, so...
Are we supposed to eat all three at once?
No, you can take your time. It's like
you might get six.
It's like pepperoni.
Yeah,
I have more,
smell
by the
bad.
Way.
It smells like sausage.
It smells like sausage.
The
yeah.
blue toothpick is elk snab. Elk snab, which is elk.
Mm. All right, okay. What's the yellow?
The yellow is whale. Or
whale, uh-oh.
It's Havalpuls.
The elk is good.
Havalpuls?
Havalpuls.
And the pink? Or
the
whatever
red is rain snab.
Reindeer.
Yes.
I really like the whale sausage. Really good.
Okay, so the whale was yellow?
Yep, whale was yellow.
Whale
elk was
yellow.
Good.
No.
Mm-hmm. All right, yeah, you're sure this is what we're eating, right? This is not.
Oh,
gonna,
yeah.
We're not going to eat these three things, and you're going to go, oh, I'm sorry, I got the wrong list.
No, this is all the way from Bergen, Norway.
Did you eat this?
He's not eating it.
No, I just had some.
Did you?
Oh, I just tasted some.
I ate the Rudolph was good, too. Rudolph the reindeer.
Oh, come on.
It glowed when
there are kids listening.
They have every kind of reindeer meat you can imagine. There's
Super Joe just told me, what about the kids that are allergic to reindeer?
That's a problem. Yeah. That's a problem. Yeah. But they have reindeer pizza. We went to an Italian restaurant in Bergen. They're serving reindeer pizza.
Why are they killing all the reindeer?
They got so many there.
They have a lot of reindeer, Steve.
It's like deer on the
is that the home
North
office
Shore.
For reindeer?
No. They farm them. And of course, now, whaling is not allowed in most countries, but Norway is one of the countries which still permits it.
So. But I like reindeer and whales. I suppose I could have the elk. Is the elk blue?
The elk is the blue, yes.
I regret this.
It tastes like... It tastes like...
The whale's the most...
Like a Slim Jim. It's like a Slim Jim.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
The whale's got the most the most aftertaste, I think. It's got the... It's salty...
Stays with you all day?
Yeah.
So did you have a problem getting those back in the country? All those sausages?
Or did you get them at Trader Joe's?
Yes, exactly, Justin. It just blew my cover. No, I didn't. I guess maybe I could have.
Hey, Mayor, I already had breakfast, so I'm going to go ahead and give you those.
I have more, by the way. I have
that.
Some
Thank
for
you.
Super Joe okay. also. Okay. So, if Pete, if you want some...
The reindeer was the most gamey of the three, I thought.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I thought the whale sausage was really...
The elk was inoffensive.
Yeah.
It goes well with coffee, too.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, now, you didn't eat elk.
What'd I have? I had the blue.
The blue was elk.
Oh, I thought you had a red one.
I didn't spend a lot of time in Norway eating this stuff, but it is readily available.
Wait, you brought us a snack back that you didn't try?
Yeah.
See, I thought you'd bring back... I thought you'd bring back something that, like, whatever the Norwegian equivalent of kale is. I guess it's probably kelp.
Well, actually, I suggested that. I didn't think you would even touch it. I knew you would at least take a shot at.
That would get confiscated at customs.
Yeah, because you'd smell it.
Yeah, you'd be like, no kelp. You can't bring kelp into the country.
What is kale in Norway? Kale?
Kale. Of course.
Dave had a really cool picture on Facebook. He and his wife, Karen, took a picture in front of this mermaid statue. But he also posted a picture of Karen in front of the same mermaid statue like 37 years ago
when she was backpacking with her friend. This was the Little Mermaid in the harbor at Copenhagen.
Oh, she'd been there before.
She had been there
37
before.
37 years ago.
So we took this picture 10 days ago? And then she went back through some old pictures and found the one of her and
How
her friend.
That? I bet she looks even better now.
Exactly what I said, Steve.
Yeah. She looks happier with Dave than she did with her friend 37 years ago.
I have a follow-up question on the whale version.
Hold on. I'm not sure he's taking follow-ups.
No, Dave, I'm taking follow-ups. Yes. Go ahead, Steve.
That's the one that I was the most concerned about eating because, I love whales, and I'm curious, are these in danger? What kind of whales are they killing to eat there?
I can't tell you, but I do know that
Dave's conscience is clear. He didn't eat any of this.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't know. They allow whales and seals to be harvested, which I'm sure is not politically very popular, but they still do it in Norway.
What's the whale movie, the big whale movie a few years ago?
Free Willy.
Yeah, was it Willy? Did we eat Willy?
No.
How were the hallucinogens in Amsterdam?
I wasn't in Amsterdam.
Thought you were going to do a side trip.
Nice try.
Well, they call it wonder cookies or magic cookies or something like that.
Hey, you know what, though? Cakes. You probably had a whole bunch of grog, right? You boozed it up, I'm guessing, while you're in Norway.
Grog, not so much.
Isn't grog like their beer?
No, I didn't see grog. They have.
Am I making it up?
Is yeah, I think you are, grog? Steve. They have. Now, in the town of Balestrand, where we spent some time, there is a cider house.
Okay.
And they make their own cider and brandy. But it's this beautiful scenic place, and a lot of people on our trip went to the cider house.
See, what I was going to bring you guys today, in a similar manner, is Cornell University is where I grew up in Ithaca, New York, where I was this weekend, and Cornell's apple orchards are world famous. So I was going to bring you guys apples, except I forgot them at home.
I thought you were going to bring us Hardee's from the road trip.
No,
some fries, some leftover fries
Hardee's
from yesterday.
Indiana. Yeah. But I'll bring you guys apples tomorrow. Hey, it's not elk, but they are apples.
Okay.
Did you think I'd be the one? How about this? I'm bringing in fruit. You're bringing in meat. What sort of reversal of roles
are
we
taking?
Yeah,
what's wrong with this
here?
Picture?
Did you have fun, though, with the Steve Bertrand group and the listeners?
Yes. Great trip. We had about 40 WGN listeners with us who great. Just a fun group.
Who is your favorite?
I'm not going to name names.
He's going to say his son, because his son and...
My son and his wife.
Okay, who is the most annoying listener that you want to name?
No, there were no annoying listeners.
I'm sure
everybody was great, and I know they're listening right now, too.
I'm sure they are. So you don't want to name a few? Just call them out?
No, not really, but...
Dave might have been the annoying listener. We don't know.
Point. Yeah. We should get their take.
Yeah, right? I think they would give you
Was this a cruise?
Take. It was from Copenhagen. We took an overnight cruise.
Is it Hagen or
Oslo?
Hagen?
We were calling it
You
Copenhagen.
Say potato, I said potato.
But
it starts with a K when you're there.
Sure does, yeah.
And
yeah.
So we went,
as you brought up off the air, we don't call it Haagen-Dazs, it's Haagen-Dazs.
Exactly.
Copenhagen, yeah.
Right. So we took a cruise from Copenhagen to Oslo, Norway.
So when you were on the ship, did it bother you that the listeners were going through the things in your cabin? I mean, you know, because we're very open to the listeners.
No, everybody had a key.
Okay.
It was fine.
Can I ask a serious question?
Yes.
The architecture in Copenhagen, which is tremendous, and you see the pictures and
the
row houses.
Are you on the WBZ flashback
now? No, but I love that when I see people put posts on Instagram and whatever, and you see those row houses of the different colors. Is it as special in person as it is that we see in the photos?
Yeah, I have some pictures of it. I'd be glad to show you, too. But, yeah, this the Nihon, or the I believe it's called, but it's along the canal right in downtown Copenhagen. And it's really spectacular. It's a really cool look. And we took a little sightseeing cruise through the canal out into the water. And
so you loved it. You loved the whole trip.
I thought the whole trip was great.
Well, that's great.
And Steve Bertrand Travel did a great job putting the trip together. It was wonderful.
Grog, alcoholic drinks, especially beer.
Okay, so I guess technically there was grog there. I just didn't know it was grog.
When you're there, you don't call it that. Like if you're in France, you don't call it French fries.
Right. Norway, it's called Amstel Light.
Right.
It's a whole different.
As much as you like to drink, you must have had something locally. Did you have wine?
I just told you we went to the cider house.
Oh, yeah, brandy.
I wasn't listening to the show then. No, I heard cider house, but what kind of cider was it?
They have all kinds: apple, pear, peach,
and it's all spiked.
Well, it is fermented,
spiked.
Yes.
All right, 7:21. Glad you had a good time.
I had a great time. Thank you. It's great to be back. I missed you guys the entire time I was gone.
Didn't think about us once. 7:21, when we come back.
More Hardee's? You can talk Hardee's? Can we
You know, I didn't see a Hardee's.
No Hardee's?
Bring that up. I didn't see
a Hardee's.
I thought
that was the whole point of...
I drove in from Dollywood last night. I have stuff at home I can bring in.
There you go.
You want me to bring it tomorrow?
What kind of snacks do you have?
Cinnamon bread.
Now that's
and
a good
stuff
can't
from
get
the
that
Waffle
in Chicago.
House.
That's right.
Stuff
Waffles.
From the Waffle House.
There you go.
That's going to kill your opportunity to fill in going forward. 7:22.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
That's what Dave sounds like after too much grog in a Norwegian karaoke bar.
Not quite after that. His voice is a little lower.
Not after that grog. 726, you could win a brand new Centennial Edition, limited edition, Centennial Blue, very special Silverado, a Chevy Silverado. Simply go to WGNradio.com/contest and sign up today and get in the contest. And we, as a sort of a bonus present for signing up for the contest, we also have for you Blackhawks convention passes because, you know, we're givers, you're takers. Four passes to the 11th Annual Blackhawks Convention, July 27th through the 29th. That's only a couple weeks away now. You can get them yourself at ChicagoBlackhawks.com, but why pay for them if I can give it to you for free? All right, so what caller today?
Well, let's see. Brandon Saad, number 20. Just look at this. Times that by 5, you're going to get 100. Then you're going to bring that back. You're going to divide that by 10 and then divide it by the fraction 1/6. Just because the one season he missed, we traded him away, came back. So I'd say seventh caller.
Seventh caller?
Yeah.
All makes sense to me. 312-981-7200 is the number.
I'm good
of course,
at math. What can I say? I'm good at math.
That's that new
I love math.
Math. That's that
I love new math.
Math. Yeah.
And I hold in my hand the most valuable person on the planet today.
Yes.
Did I say it the right way today?
You did.
The most valuable person on the planet. When I turn this over, I will be able to know who the most valuable person on the planet is. Are we ready? Today's yes. most valuable person is... Oh, of course it is. Jay Cutler. Now, let me back this up. You, Sandberg, were very excited about the debut of a brand new reality show, because God knows we need more, called Very Cavallari.
Yes.
Which debuted last night.
Last night on E at 9 o'clock Central Time.
Starring?
Kristen Cavallari and...
Oh, it's Cavallari?
Jay Cutler.
Ms. Cavallari has had a an online version of this show in some form, right?
No. I mean,
she's
well, her
a,
whole
she's
life...
a reality star. She was on The Hills, right?
But she had something going on online.
Well, she has sure. her... She's been building up. I've been playing you the teases for the last 3 months.
Oh, those are promos?
Those are promos for this show. But, I mean, her life is on social media. As she said last night, she hasn't spent $1 promoting her shoe line or jewelry line, Uncommon James. But because of social media,
me the same. I haven't spent $1 promoting her shoe clothing line either. All right, so
and she was on first Laguna Beach, then
Laguna
Hills,
Beach.
Just
sorry.
So, 2004 is when it started. We watched her for about 7 years. Those of us that watched, and if you watched that, you were very excited for last night's new show.
All right, so Jay Cavallari, who watched this other than Kristen Cavallari's? No, not according to this show. Jay Cavallari, Kristen Cavallari's husband, former Bears quarterback. Let me just ask you, did he enjoy himself?
He did because he was himself. And it was, just so you know, Very Cavallari is the number one trending thing in Chicago ahead of even the cave.
Yeah.
The cave divers. Everybody was watching.
What does that say about
what's wrong with that
what
picture?
What is wrong with that story?
Every respectable sports reporter in town, I can't believe it, but I'm watching, you know.
I thought it was great.
I thought
seeing Jay Cutler in a different, because he's on Kristen's, she set up an Instagram account for him.
If Jay had
we've
Instagram.
Seen that. Remember he showed his bare butt at one point. So he has a different vibe than he does when he was a quarterback for the Chicago Bears. So when you watch the show, you're like, oh, he's a Wrigleyville bro.
Hold on. He was disinterested when he played quarterback.
But this
here.
Is a different
Isn't
disinterested.
Still disinterested?
He's still disinterested.
It's a different disinterested.
For instance, Kristen was running some of her business out of her home. They're a very nice home in Nashville, by the way. And the girls came in for their daily work, and they walk by him, and he doesn't even say hello. And then Kristen says, you're not even going to say hello? And he said, no, I might say goodbye.
I don't say hi.
And then she said that was awkward, and he's like, I felt very comfortable. He's fine being him. He yelled at one of the girls for parking on his grass,
And then, because
these are the girls who work for Kristen.
They work for Kristen. They parked on his grass, and so he sent a text from downstairs. Hey, one of your girls is on the grass, and so
there's a great scene.
Grumpy old man.
There's a great scene that they tease out.
There's a great scene.
There's a great scene where she's talking to him. And he's like, "What do you do all day?" Like, and he's like, "You know what? I keep myself available, open." And
in case
something comes up, bounce right on it. Like,
she asked him what his next step is while they were at a romantic dinner. And he said, because she said, "You're going to want to do something. You know, you've always worked so hard. You're going to want to work." And he said, actually, no, I'm looking to do no work. He wants to do nothing.
Sounds like the marriage is in trouble.
And he also commented, and I could totally empathize with this. He went 20 minutes early to the pickup line to get his boys from school. And he still was the 10th car back. The pickup line is the most maddening thing out there. So he wanted to be first. Right.
That's his one thing he does. That and, like you said, live stream watch deer.
Yep.
It's a very strange thing to do. He watches deer on the computer.
He's clearly a hunter because he had that elk meat. So anyway, Jay Cutler.
Love it.
Is the most appealing character.
I think we should sign him. I think we should sign him and let him play football in Chicago. I think he's great.
Careful, that's loud enough. It might wake him up. Did he yawn at all during the show?
He basically yawned. One time when they were getting ready for dinner, he wet his hair in the sink. It would like any guy would do. I don't know why I pictured that he would do more there, but he also said that he won't rule out that he's not playing this year until September.
Right. First game.
So he's waiting for a call.
I guess that's what he implied.
All right, and is it true that he claimed he picked out his wife's clothes?
He does. Well, she ran it by him. What should I wear? And then she had a helper put on a turtleneck sweater because it was going to mess up her hair and makeup.
I've never looked at Jay Cutler and thought, what a fashion plate.
Yeah, apparently he has good input.
He's wearing a camouflage hat. That was his big thing. He had a weird sweatshirt sweater on that was... Yeah, so,
yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and say completely unsubstantiated. The marriage is in trouble.
No, I think it's I think it's blossoming.
And I think episode 2 or 3 are going to get a divorce.
She ordered a carbonara. I love that. That made me want some carbonara.
You mean the Italian food?
Yeah, that's what she ordered.
Well, this is a winner.
I'm Marvin Elkman.
This is a winner.
When is this crap on?
Sundays at 9
Central. I mean, when is this fine show on?
Prime
Sundays,
time.
9 Central. And the nice thing about E! Is they run it at 9, and then they run it again right after at 10. So if you missed it.
And they're probably running it 47 times today.
Right. I recorded if anyone wants to come over. You can watch it.
And while you were talking, I actually tweeted the phrase cave save about 1,000 times just so we wouldn't be trending this.
Just so we're not trending
oven.
On this. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, congratulations to you and Kristen.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. It's 7:33. What are we doing? We're taking a break. We'll come back with the headlines in just a moment on 720 WGN. It is 7:44. Steve Cochran. The show continues. Number 12 in the brand new studios. Also known as show number 1,181. At 7:44, Jessica Deli joins us. Jessica is Central Region Coordinator for the NCRC. That's the National Cave Rescue Commission, and she knows much more about this cave diving than any of us do. In an effort to try to understand it a little better or visualize it, we welcome Jessica to the show. Good morning.
Good morning.
You have a sense that we don't have of how difficult this rescue is. Is there a way to describe it to the layman?
The best I've been trying to think about to do this is imagine yourself crawling under a sedan, not a semi, not a pickup truck, but a sedan, one of those really low ones. And you've got all the little pokey things that are hanging down off the bottom of your car. And now that area is filled with water. And you can't see anything, so we're going to murk it up real bad. And I want you to zigzag back and forth down the length of that vehicle. That is kind of what those guys are going through. That's how tight it is. That's how dark it is. And very unpleasant to try and navigate.
And I suppose with rocks and pointy things, as you so well put it, you have a danger of breaching an oxygen hose, and then you've got nothing but trouble.
That is a consideration. Hopefully not a huge one. Most of the cave diving equipment is pretty robust. But, yes, if you get snagged, panic, and continue to pull instead of stop, calmly evaluate where you are, maybe figure out where the snag is, that may be a situation that could arise, yes.
We're trying to figure out, too, how they got so far back into this cave. Should we assume that it was water-free or empty, or relatively speaking, and then this water from the mountain rushed in? Because some of these openings that they're trying to clear, even if they were clear before to get through, we're only talking about a couple of feet, right?
Right. So there may have been an active stream running through there, but if you're only getting ankle or knee deep wet, at that point it's fun and you're just splashing through the water. But unfortunately, in those tight areas, that water fills up pretty quick. And once the constriction is filled, that water starts to backfill. And I believe that's where the problem really comes in.
Jessica, you're with the National Cave Rescue Commission, a commission that up to today I did not know existed. Talk about how, I mean...
thankfully,
but this idea that there needs to be a rescue commission. Cave diving is a very popular thing in this country, and there are spaces that are very dangerous.
That is true. Most of what the NCRC does is teach non-cave diving technique, or rescue techniques. So we're talking about you and your friend went to a dry cave, or maybe it has a little stream in it, but it's not necessarily a flooding problem. But in the back of the cave, somebody fell down and hurt themselves, or you're lost and out of light, those types of things. That's what we're looking to teach people how to do. Most of our focus is not actually on cave diving.
So these kids, we're told many of them can't swim. Obviously, yep. They're thrilled that these Navy SEALs popped their heads out of the water, several days ago now. So you figure, okay, now the hard part's over. But the hard part was just beginning. One of the things we've also heard, unconfirmed, is that the healthiest kids have been taken out first. Why would that be?
I've actually heard the opposite.
Oh,
so yeah. It sounded like they were going to take the healthiest children out first to give the others a day or two to regain some more strength and maybe some more confidence. I've heard that it was the opposite. Now, again, I'm getting my information secondhand just like you are, so this is unconfirmed as well. But I was made to understand that the ones that maybe needed a little more medical attention were taken out first. And my thought, the reason behind that would be because at this point, your conditions are the most ideal they're going to get. If more rain is coming, this is the easiest that it's going to be. Take the people out who may struggle a little bit more. And if the water does tend to rise a little bit, not saying going back to the original flood stage, but just a little bit, and the current is a little stronger, then the stronger kids may have an easier time navigating that than somebody who is already weak. The likelihood of the weaker ones regaining enough strength in one day to compensate for that is probably less likely. But again, this is only speculation on my part.
And for taking hours to get in and out, is it because you have to walk, feel, just like you're walking in a dark room, maybe?
Well, the walking part isn't too bad. It does take longer usually to traverse. So when I go caving, there's a cave we do every week kind of for exercise, and in it, it has a half-mile loop. Now, to walk a half-mile takes a few minutes, depending on if you're doing a leisurely stroll or kind of a fast walk. When we are going very, very quickly around this half-mile, the group of us who know it, we can do it in 15 minutes, give or take. If you take a brand new group of people caving, same cave, same trip, you're not moving near as fast, you're poking along a little slower, it can take upwards of an hour or two to do that exact same route. So just going in for these guys, not including the diving portion, the walking is just so much slower. You've got slippery slopes, you've got uneven footing, you may have some climbing. So there's a variety of different reasons for that.
Jessica, there's obviously you just mentioned yourself. I mean, there's a caving community in this country. There's a national tourist component to this. Does this kind of story, the idea of these kids getting stuck in a cave and all of that has to go through and the whole world is watching, does that have a negative impact on the marginal tourist who may be interested in exploring a cave but doesn't want to now?
For a tour cave, probably not. It may actually, I would think, up their numbers, because a tour cave is a very safe location. Most tour caves do not have a water component to it or not a very large water component to it. And so you're walking around in a nice, smooth path, a well-lit area, and the problems that may arise would be pretty minimal. The wild caves, which is what cavers do, they find places that are not well-lit. There are no marked paths. So you're kind of finding your way around there. there's an influx. There'll be some people who hear this story and say, oh, I want to go caving. I never even thought of it. And other people who are just reaffirm their idea that they're claustrophobic and want nothing to do with the underground environment.
So before we let you go, are you feeling more confident now that more than half of the kids are out? Do they understand the route better, those who are bringing the kids out, or is every new kid the same level of danger?
I think the cave divers who are assisting the kids, I think, maybe feel a little more confident. The first kid or the first two kids you bring out, you know, you are now comfortable with that route a little bit more, but now you have the added responsibility of another person. And once you've done one or two, I think the diver's confidence builds up a little bit more. But at the same time, each kid's going to be different, and you don't know what's going to trigger a panic attack. So I'm not sure how they are communicating with the kids or how they are preparing them for what they're going to go through. But it's not over yet. I'm still holding my breath.
Great education from you. Thank you. Thank you for the work you do every day.
Thank you very much.
And if we need information or would like more information, curiosity or otherwise, for the National Cave Rescue Commission, what's the website?
Sure. The website is ncrc.info, I-N-F-O.
Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you.
Jessica Deli. Jessica is the Central Region Coordinator for the National Cave Rescue Commission, and I thought the way she described the entire thing was perfect, but when she said you're climbing under a sedan and you don't want to hit the pointy things, now you're talking my language. Now you're speaking at a level I can understand. And don't run into the pointy thing.
And she mentioned, and it would be worth a follow-up at some point, just the caving community, that there is a lot of people who do this on the weekends that go and explore underground, as she called it, the underground environment and wild caves.
See, but I just think of a cave. I never think of a cave the way this cave, and I'm sure every cave is. Little passageways that lead to openings and then tiny holes that lead to bigger openings. To me, a cave is where Gilligan hangs out until somebody comes to the island
or
and rescues
the bear hibernates.
It's one opening and there's a bamboo wall in front of it, you know, with bars. That's it.
Well, I had Kenny Broad on. He was he's one of the big cave divers in this world. He's was with National Geographic and talked about the spaces. I forgot where it was, Pete. I think it was in the Caribbean, that there are several underwater caves that he explores, that he goes and finds, and just the technique and the danger and the pinpoint accuracy that you have to do this kind of work, it's impressive and dangerous.
Steve's here.
Impressive.
Steve, you know, I was in a hotel room, several hotel rooms in the past few days, and I was nervous getting up in a dark room in the middle of the night trying to find the bathroom. I can't imagine what these guys have been through. Just incredible. So, Steve, how many have been saved?
Eight. That's a firm number now. They've all been taken to the hospital, and we're told from the scene that the emergency rescue operations for today are over. So if it holds true like it did over the weekend, they'll take 24 hours off and start again perhaps tomorrow.
That's what Tom said. Tom told us in the 6 o'clock hour, Tom Rivers from ABC, that tomorrow will be group three. So they're doing this in three stages, and today was group two.
And then but they'll get the rest out tomorrow?
That's how he said it, that there was the group three would start tomorrow.
So you got five plus the coach.
Yeah.
Four plus the coach.
Left. So it does make sense. They did four yesterday, they did four today, and then it looks like five tomorrow. Or they keep the coach there, you know, for day four.
And Texter asked why the coach took him there in the first place. We don't know, but it could have been a reward for the soccer team doing well. Said, if you guys have a great practice or a great game, I'll show you this cool cave. Seemed like a great idea at the time.
And I also believe that the one nugget that Tom Rivers gave us in the 6 o'clock hour, which I did not know, is that this is a very indigenous area. I mean, in the soccer field was at the base, and the mountain is right there, and these kids know this area.
Right.
So it may not be like we think, where they're like, oh, a cave, let's go in. They may know the cave. They may have gone through it before. This might be a situation that arises. As we just heard from Jessica, a lot of things can happen in a cave that were unanticipated.
Interesting culture question, too. Parents in that part of the world, are they hovering? Are they helicopter parents? Are they freaked out over this, or do they trust the coach to watch them and do the right thing? And
we'll
again,
find out more.
These
about
are
that.
Curiosity questions, not blame questions. All right, what else? A break, and we're back. Yes, on 720 WGN. First, this.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
think you got a long week. Here's Trump's week. He goes to the NATO summit and tries not to annoy or aggravate or anger the allies that we have that we need, and they need us, obviously. Then he goes to see the Queen of England and the Prime Minister, first in Scotland, and then for a quiet dinner at the palace and an overnight in London without any official pomp and circumstance there because of the protests that could be involved. And then off to Helsinki for a meeting with Vladimir Putin, a meeting that never had to happen, and a meeting that he called. So you've been accused of potentially a crime. Four of your people have been indicted. Your campaign manager, former campaign manager, is sitting in jail. And the link to all of it is Vladimir Putin, and you decide to go have a meeting with him. Other than that, you got nothing to worry about, America. We're back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than when I should.
And good morning to Dean Richards. How are you?
We're all back from the holiday.
Everybody's saddled up. Ready to go.
Well, all right.
That's what we're doing.
I didn't know you had the hardware on.
That's exactly right. We're standing by, too, for Donald Trump's primetime appearance tonight, since we're talking show business.
You're standing by now?
Yeah, I'm standing by right now. I'm trying to get people together for a party, a big Supreme Court pick watch party.
Oh, nice.
There's talk
like the NFL draft.
Well, yeah, or the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
There's talk that it's going to come down to Brett Kavanaugh or Thomas Hardiman. But there was a Chicago judge named Amy Coney Barrett from the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, very socially conservative, and Raymond Kethledge as well. But I might throw some other names in. Dean, tell me if you like any of these.
Mm-hmm.
Judge Reinhold.
Oh, he's a judge. He's been a judge all his life.
Judge Dredd.
Okay. Kind of youngs up the court a little bit.
How about that judge from My Cousin Vinny?
Oh, Fred Gwynn.
Mm-hmm. He was good, wasn't it?
I love, are you kidding me? Herman Munster on the Supreme Court.
How about any of the women from The Real Housewives? They're all very judgmental.
All very judgmental. Very
How about Sandberg? She's judgmental.
I would make a great judge.
What about a Judge Ito? Is he still around?
Oh, good call by you. Yeah, Judge Ito. Or for that matter, Judge Judy.
Yeah.
Why would Judge Judy get to give up $45 million a year, though?
Oh, I would love Judge Judy on there just to yell at people.
Is Judge Wapner still alive from the original?
I believe he's passed away.
He's kicked. All right, then how about Judge Smales from Caddyshack?
Wow.
Oh, I'm being told Ted's dead, too. All right, so we're really down to, I guess it's Ito. I guess we're going with Ito. Ito's the guy. Ito or Sandberg, that's one of the, that's the selection we have.
The word Ito makes me laugh. Sounds like it should be a fast food franchise name.
It does. It really does.
Hey, Steve, you want to go to Ito's for lunch today?
So I had a family reunion, Dean, in upstate New York, Cochran family reunion.
Nice.
And the first person to greet me was Uncle Tony.
Tell us about Uncle Tony.
92 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Gets around better than I do.
Yep.
Doesn't even limp. He's on a treadmill every day. It looked fantastic. And he was an uncle who sort of intimidated me when I was a kid. I didn't think he was very nice.
Right.
Couldn't have been nicer.
See?
I guess he hit 91 and kind of mellowed out.
Or maybe you've matured a little bit.
I think that's probably.
No, I'm sure I was
right.
I can't
believe those words came out of my mouth.
Sure, I was right the whole time.
You mentioned maturing. This is one time I got in the elevator with Steve, and I think that he thought I was irritated with him. So to combat that, he hit every button for every floor.
Yes. Yes.
That's
to make sure she was irritated with me.
Conflict resolution right there at its finest.
What do we think of some of the other floors in our new building?
I haven't gone to any of them.
Haven't you? Didn't you peek in when you...
I've been to the second floor. That's where the gym is.
Oh, no. They pushed all the buttons floors. That was back at the Tribune Tower.
That was the old building, yeah.
But wait, we were on the ground floor there.
When we go to our offices.
that's right. The offices. I never went upstairs.
But this building's got a lot of cool stuff in it. We got a health club, and we've got a social lounge.
Yeah, it's on the amenities floor.
But on the amenities floor, I'm not sure I want to sit in the massage chairs that everyone else has previously massaged in.
Yeah. Well, you have to put booties on your feet to sit in them.
That booty part, the feet's not the concern, actually. It's the rest of me sitting in the chair that's the problem for me.
Yeah.
I had that problem with the gym at Tribune Tower when they first opened it. Mm-hmm. I went one time and saw a coworker naked and decided to never go there again.
Yeah, see, that is a drawback.
It's was it Dave? Because Dave used to use that gym every day.
No, it was none of the person that I saw was a behind-the-scenes person who no longer works for us. But
let's bring him out right now.
And that was that was the downside to that gym, is that everybody worked out naked, which just it's just not right. Not as fun.
That's why they had to close it.
Yeah. On paper, it sounded like a good idea, but.
So I got this. I've got this 88-year-old Uncle Dana. And the 88-year-old Uncle Dana got in a discussion with the 90. I like old guys. Old guys make me laugh. The 92-year-old is calling the 88-year-old a punk.
That's awesome. That's great.
Great is that. Justin Bieber's engaged. Sorry, ladies. Tyler Perry's in the news. So I guess it'd be Tyler Perry's news. Gal Gadot, Tab Hunter. Wasn't he on the Beverly Hillbillies occasionally as a guest star?
I don't think so. I'll have to double check that. You may be thinking of Dash Riprock. Oh, no, wait. That was the Flintstones. Yeah.
And a bunch of celebrity surgeries over the weekend that Dean has details on as he lurks around Hollywood hospitals. All of that coming up.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You gotta go and get angry at all of my honesty. You know I try, but I don't do too well with apologies.
Best Bieber song ever.
Stop dancing right now.
No way, man.
It's a contradiction in terms also.
You know what I noticed on Sirius XM over the weekend, Dean? Every England, Dan, and John Ford Coley song ever.
That's right.
Every America song ever.
I really love to see you tonight.
I heard I'm not talking about moving in one more time. I go, just move in.
Yeah, that's...
Just move in. Just check
really
up.
Love to see you. I'm trying to think. Sad to be long, was that...
I don't remember that.
I don't know what they have against tall people there. It's sad to be long, but
yeah, I know. And they got a horse with no name. That was all over it as well. Yep. Name the damn horse.
You were listening to the Yacht Rock Channel.
Yeah. It was a Yacht Rock Channel, but no, that was just part
no Bieber
of it.
on the road trip. Didn't bring out the best of Bieber.
No. But what about Bieber getting engaged? Is this good news for the girl? This is Haley Baldwin, right?
Yeah. Haley Baldwin, who is the daughter of actor Stephen Baldwin, niece of Alec Baldwin, and the various...
It won't be a problem with Alec Baldwin, because Stephen and Alec don't talk.
Right. Stephen is, sort of operates in his own galaxy, aside from the other Baldwins, and certainly Alec Baldwin, who operates in his own stratosphere. But
Stephen and I did a movie together.
Did you really?
Yeah, movie called Crossing the Bridge, where I played a drug thug, and I got to beat him up in a fight scene. Not exactly beat him up. I got to hold him back in a fight scene while his buddy Jason Gedrick was getting beat up by our gang leader, and I dislocated his shoulder when I was holding him back. So I actually harmed a Baldwin brother.
Oddly, that's what he tweeted about this morning instead of tweeting about his daughter.
Well, I think it's good news for Bieber, because what's the chance he could hit Bieber with his right hand? His arm doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, both of Bieber's parents tweeted how happy they are and blah, blah, blah. Stephen Baldwin, I remember working with Steve Cochran on this movie where he dislocated my
shoulder. Wasn't he the chump with one line who hurt me? Yeah, that guy?
So, here... Bieber and Haley Baldwin, they dated in 2016, and then they split up, and then Bieber went back with his longtime girlfriend, singer Selena Gomez, for a little while, and they kind of flirted around a little bit, I guess, to see could they make it work, and they didn't. So he apparently went back with Haley Baldwin.
Seems fast. Is this a rebound?
All good relationships have a break. So they were together.
You told Pat
they had
about
a break.
This?
We had a 10 and a half week break somewhere in there in 2013, but I'm not counting it.
Yeah, so he proposed over the weekend in the Bahamas.
One of my favorite details of the story is that they were seen hanging out at Nippers Bar and Grill in the Bahamas.
As one does.
And have you seen the ring, Dean?
It's rather large.
It's very large, but I have a question. It appears to me that she's also wearing the wedding band already, because she's got... It's the... Steve, if you could look at this photo. It's a big oval-shaped diamond on a band.
Yeah,
and then there's another band She's wearing the...
So is she already married?
Well, that's my question.
Maybe they got married, yeah. Maybe
you
we're breaking
mean?
News
that
right now.
That usually means that extra band is the wedding band. You don't usually give an engagement
Justin's
ring.
Justin's very young. Is it a promise ring?
He's 24, yeah. Mm. She's only 21, though.
Hmm. 24 years old. Justin Bieber is 24 years old. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's lived a life.
I hope the kids last forever. Gosh
just
darn
seems
it.
Seems like yesterday he was throwing eggs at his neighbor's house.
Right. You think I'm going to get an invite to the wedding?
Maybe not you.
I mean, as tight as Stephen and I are.
Yeah. I'll have to bring you as my plus one.
Who's that guy? Who'd Dean bring with him?
Those two bald guys.
All right, why is Tyler Perry in my news?
Tyler Perry, you know, you probably have had this because you've been in some movies. At the end of the movie, sometimes the actors get gifts from the directors or producers.
Sure, I got a pen.
For being part of a movie, Tyler Perry decided to gift one of his actresses for a movie that was just completed, Tiffany Haddish, mm-hmm. who is like the it girl in comedy, at least anyway, in Hollywood. Personally, I think should back off a little bit. I think she's
a little loud,
a little bit overexposed
little
myself.
Loud.
It's funny.
But Tyler Perry gave her an $80,000 Tesla SUV as a gift.
That's interesting because I did five or six movies and I didn't get that. I got pizza. I got pizza at the cast party. I didn't get a Tesla.
Well, Teslas weren't invented then. Right?
Does this sound like more than just a cast gift? Is something going on here?
I don't think. No, I don't think so.
Well, let's make that up.
Okay. Hot romance. In fact, Tyler Perry proposed to Tiffany Haddish in the Bahamas over the weekend.
Oh, now you're being irresponsible.
And Tiffany Haddish is wearing two rings for some reason.
That's and then crazy. Did Tiffany's parents tweet about being in a movie with Steve Cochran?
With Steve Cochran.
Absolutely.
And most celebrities do tweet about
Haddish
Steve.
Has the best bit going, and I hope she continues it through her career, which she did on Saturday Night Live where she was wearing the white dress.
Yeah.
And then she said, I paid a lot of money for this dress. My stylist says you can't wear it to another award show. I'm wearing it. And she's
worn it like five times.
Yeah, and it's random. And I could
swore. So you're saying, Dean, get a new dress.
No, it's a great bit. I could have swore I saw in one of the new movies she's got, one of the summer movies, she's in that dress in the trailer. So we'll see. I hope so.
Well, yeah, but frankly, she could afford a new dress. No, sell the Tesla. Is it Gal Gadot or Gadot?
I believe that she pronounces it Gadot.
All right, and what's she do?
The actress that plays Wonder Woman. You know, celebrities go and visit kids at hospitals. That's, you know, not a huge story. It's very nice, but not a huge story.
Dave Enid does it as well, and he always wears his sports guy costume.
Well,
that's correct.
Interestingly, this has that connection to Dave visiting because Dave has also shown up at hospitals visiting kids in a Wonder Woman costume also.
Mm-hmm. They love it.
Which is what Gal Gadot did.
Dave in a Wonder Woman costume?
Gal Gadot went to visit some kids in the hospital. Could have just shown up in street clothes, but she put the full Wonder Woman garb on and was a big hit with some kids at a hospital in Virginia, which I think
very
is
nice
a
story.
Lovely, wonderful story, and good luck getting the image of Dave Enit in a Wonder Woman costume out of your head for the rest of the
I
day.
Wonder if she had to go online like the rest of us and buy the costume, because that's probably owned by DC.
Fantasy costumes.
Yeah. Right. I had the Wonder Woman underoos as a kid, so that's what I'm picturing Dave in. Oh. Just the underoos.
Oh. Nice.
Tab Hunter, where do we know him from?
Tab Hunter was a major, major heartthrob. Started in the 1950s, I would say like the mid-1950s to maybe about 1970 or so. He was in a bunch of movies, about a dozen or so movies.
Would you say bless you to the person behind you that just sneezed?
God bless you. I don't know. Did you sneeze? Oh, God bless you. It's our intern. Yeah. Usually
did
I don't.
Did you sneeze?
Usually I don't acknowledge the interns.
Yeah. Just tell her she sneezed.
You can tell it in your voice,
she sneezed
when you
at thousands
around.
And thousands of people.
Honestly, I didn't even hear the sneeze. I don't know how Steve did. But,
yeah.
So he had his own television show. He had a hit record years ago. You know, very, very like chiseled, handsome, blonde, heartthrobby kind of guy. He passed away 86 years old.
It's a pretty good run.
Interesting story about him. Apparently, according to unauthorized biographies that have come out, he dated actor Anthony Perkins and also Montgomery Clift secretly. You know, he grew up in the closeted era of Hollywood.
Couldn't come out as being gay because it was the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, lived, you know, the kind of a, I guess, secretive, sad life the way Rock Hudson did. But it has spent the last 35 years with the same partner who survives him at his death.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was in a movie called The Fickle Finger of Fate in 1967.
He was, among others. He was also in the original movie version of Damn Yankees, which was that was a pretty big movie.
You sure he wasn't on Beverly Hillbillies with Jethro out at the cement pond?
No, I did check that during the pond. They did have a lot of, like, you know, Hollywood actor types like mm-hmm. that. There were a lot of Tab mm-hmm. Hunter types mm-hmm. That were on the show that would hang out around the cement pond trying to woo Ellie Mae.
Yep. Without a doubt.
Until she wrestled them.
Those are good times. And finally, the regular feature Dean always does on Monday, celebrity surgeries.
Yeah, I'm trying to branch out a little bit, aside from my real estate listings that I do. I'm going to try to bring you as many celebrity maladies as I can also. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I can't remember if I told you that Kelly Cuoco from Big Bang Theory got married last week.
Yep.
Married a longtime boyfriend.
At the horse farm.
Because he is a professional equestrian. They both love horses, but he is a professional equestrian.
I think it's her third marriage, right?
No, it's her second.
Second.
I think it's her fourth marriage.
She was married to the tennis player.
Interestingly, is married to Tiffany Haddish, who got a ring from taking it back. To
Dipper's Bar and Grill. Right?
And Haley Baldwin's in this story somewhere,
all
too.
Back.
Kaylee had shoulder surgery to celebrate her honeymoon. She inadvertently scheduled shoulder surgery at the same time, 5 days after her wedding. So she spent most of her honeymoon in a hospital bed. You can all do your own jokes about that.
Oh, very weird.
Her husband did a selfie for her Instagram, you know, posted it for her.
Who doesn't want a selfie when you're half drugged up after a surgery? I would kill somebody if they took a selfie when I was out like that.
Listen, the gown looked great on you. Who
Mario else? Mario Lopez also had surgery from Extra. Torn Achilles tendon while he was sparring. He issued a tweet saying that he won't be doing any more boxing or jujitsu for
a while. Getting too old for that.
He's 44.
I like the rule of three. You got one more?
I don't.
Mario Lopez hasn't aged. He looks just the same as he was in Saved by the Bell.
Oh, you haven't seen him in the last
Does Mario
weeks.
Lopez call everybody preppy still? That's what he did in that show.
Yeah. With the Z Cavaricci pants.
Yeah, actually, and I think Dan, I think you might agree. He's the delightful young
man. Is he?
And by the way, I say young man because he's 44.
You say he's delightful?
Yeah, I like him. Hmm. You didn't have that experience.
Mm-mm.
Well, what, was he a jerk to you?
Not to me, to one of our producers.
Oh, come on!
He was waiting to go on and was reading the newspaper, and the producer came over and asked him if he would like any water or anything that he would like. Didn't even, like, you know, it's like, say you're holding the Tribune, like a big...
Like in front of your face?
Big spread newspaper like that in front of his face. Didn't even put the newspaper down and just said, no, I just want to be left alone.
Mm. Well, mm. Boy, that's a shame, because I had a good experience with him with a paper. No, I mean, every time I talked to him, he was a decent guy. But I never like to hear stories of people who are jerks to support staff. That's ridiculous.
That's what I said. How hard is it to be, you know, just say no?
You want to be mean to somebody, be mean to Dean.
Offering you some water, right? That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, yes. Be mean to the talent.
That's your show business, what we like to call moron entertainment.
Yeah.
All right, buddy, thank you.
Bye.
We're back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Super Joe's White Sox trivia question. Answer Super Joe's White Sox trivia question correctly, and you can win White Sox tickets. Ladies
and gentlemen, every Monday, Super Joe gets his swing at the plate. I have Royals White Sox tickets for July 15th. These tickets are for Sunday's game, Royals and the White Sox.
It's
going to be a beautiful day.
Last game before the break.
The big All-Star break.
Big All-Star break.
All right, your question, Super Joe's one.
The White Sox have a quick two-game series with the St. Louis Cardinals starting tomorrow night. The two teams completed a trade on deadline day back in 2016 where the White Sox received outfielder Charlie Tilson. Which left-handed reliever did the White Sox deal to St. Louis in order to acquire the speedy Winnetka native?
I don't remember Charlie Tilson.
I think I have a stab. I have a guess. Charlie Tilson is playing right now.
He's playing for the Sox now.
I don't remember that deal.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't. Not like he's dead. I don't remember that deal.
Well, he was 0 for 4 yesterday, but is Charlie Tilson a new Trier guy?
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Did he go to Colorado State?
Oh, that Charlie Tilson.
I don't know where he went to college, but new Trier guy who last year they brought up and they're like, this could be a huge deal. And his first at bat, I think he tore a hamstring and he was out for the rest of the year. Like he didn't play at all last year. And then this year they finally find these back in.
A lot of people are saying they don't remember the Charlie Tilson deal after that.
I feel like I know who this is, and I'm not sure. But
all right, so excited. Joe, one more time on the question.
Who did the White Sox trade in order to acquire Charlie Tilson on deadline day 2016?
I think it was Rachel Bilson. Didn't Rachel Bilson?
For Tilson, the Charlie Bilson Tilson for deal? Tilson
Bilson
deal?
For Tilson
Bilson
deal.
Tilson,
right.
Thanks.
Do you remember Rachel Bilson?
I do, actually, quite vividly.
2016, deadline.
312-981-7200, first correct caller that has the answer. Joe will give you those tickets, and you'll be good to go. Do you know that if you leave a bottle of water in your hot car, it's a bad idea?
Yes.
Do you know why?
Because the plastic, are you talking about the plastic bottles?
Mm-hmm.
Because the sunlight breaks down the components of the plastic and creates dangerous ingredients in the drinking water.
It's a BP HMQ situation, whatever those three letters were.
Did I explain that right?
You did, actually, but that's not why this particular story talks about it being dangerous. There's an all-new danger to leaving a bottle of water in your hot car. Hmm. And I'll tell you about it when we come back.
I got it! I'm patched in!
All right, let me hear it.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
We're locked. Systems check out. Signal across the board. What's the frequency?
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
851. I have a couple of show business stories that we didn't actually get to. You know who Travis Pastrana is, Dave? Makes a great sandwich. Travis Pastrana. He's the cyclist, the motorcycle stunt guy.
I heard about this, yes.
He broke three Evel Knievel records in Las Vegas this weekend. Was he bus jumping? Because all I remember from Evel Knievel in Las Vegas is lining up buses outside Caesar's Palace and jumping them.
And the Snake River Canyon jump.
Right, but this was the Vegas thing, I think. Because the Snake River Canyon thing, the rocket kind of just, you know, it was a dud. Remember the Snake River Canyon?
Oh, yeah.
3-hour buildup with Howard Cosell, and then the rocket just goes, you know, the rocket just, that was it.
Yeah.
And then it goes to the bottom.
Yeah.
It's like an Acme failure. But Travis Pastrana broke all the Evel Knievel records.
Yeah.
Robin Wright is in the news talking about the new season of House of Cards, the final season of House of Cards, and they asked her about Kevin Spacey. And she said, I didn't know the man. She said, I knew him between Action and Cut.
Yeah, we had a relationship between Action and Cut.
And that was it. And I don't not believe that. I think that's probably fair. She said they had some giggles on set, but it's not like, people in TV shows and movies, they don't hang out. Do you hang out with everybody you work with? No.
You and I hang out.
Well, that's different.
We have yet to hang out. That's an unfair assessment.
Well, if we're hanging out. If we're hanging out, we're going to be hanging out around 10.
Exactly. Foot golf? Can I introduce you in foot golf?
Yeah, that worked out well. All right, and I mentioned the water bottles in the hot car. Leaving water bottles in your car during the summer, a bad idea. This story, I mean, everybody's got a water bottle in their car probably right now. Do you have a water bottle in your car? I do.
I don't. I have an empty cup. I drink a cup of water on my way in.
I had an empty Superdog Coca-Cola deal.
I always have bottles of water.
No bottle of water.
I mean, I usually finish them, but I mean, it could be a squirt or something.
I have one. It's coconut water. Does that count?
Sometimes Dave has a diet Snapple in there.
A plastic bottle of water.
You know that.
A plastic bottle of water can set your car on fire.
What?
That's right. If sunlight comes through your windshield at the proper angle and refracts through the bottle of water, it can magnify the heat and set your car seat on fire. If you don't believe it, just talk to Dione Amistigui, a battery technician with the Idaho Power Company, who was sitting in his truck during his lunch break. When he saw some smoke out of the corner of his eye, he looked and noticed the light was being refracted through a water bottle and was catching his car seat on fire.
Wow.
He recorded the clip to warn others. We have the clip. You want to post this? We have the clip of the guy's car being on fire. He tested it again with a thermostat held up to the bottle. The temperature registered 213 degrees Fahrenheit.
I have a particular... No, okay, it's not even close to the same story. But I did the grill trick with the onion yesterday.
Did it work?
Right. It did, because I heated it up and I did the onion off the grill. And I was like, great. But then it caused my grill to fire up more than it should have. Meaning it was like there was a lot of flame where there usually isn't that much flame.
So it was clean, but there was onion residue?
Yeah, I think the onion residue may have caused the grill to freak out a little bit.
I like how that the water bottle on the seat, because God forbid the water bottle be in a cup holder where it should be in the car. But I think it could go on the seat.
Right, but I always put it in the cup or leave it in the cup holder. But if it's in the cup holder, the refraction can still hit,
yeah,
depending on the angle of the sun.
Yeah.
In other words, a bottle of water in your car could kill you by noon today. I'm just telling you right now, you've been warned.
You and Justin were talking about hanging out.
Yeah.
And if do you remember, Steve, a couple weeks ago? After our meeting, you said to me you were going to a lunch at the Palm,
mm-hmm,
and you said, do you want to come to lunch with us?
This is exactly what happened. My brother, Kevin Powell, I think?
Yes, Kevin Powell.
My brother, Kevin Powell, and there was somebody else. There was a fourth.
John DeCoss.
Oh, John DeCoss. Fun bunch.
Yeah, mm-hmm, good fun bunch. Mm-hmm.
And I said to you, I said, why don't you go to lunch? You never go to lunch with us. Why don't you go to lunch? And you said...
I don't want to.
No. No, this is what you said. You said... Big sigh, and then you said, I really don't want to.
I really don't want to. Yeah.
It wasn't I don't want to. It's I really don't want to.
More so because I don't like going to lunch.
Pete, come here for a second. Pete Zimmerman worked with you on the Doll Show for how many years?
Like 11.
So you would have been a free club sandwich.
I couldn't handle a 45-minute sit-down?
Apparently not.
I hate going to lunch.
Did you ever have Pete in working with Sandberg for the Doll Show? Did you ever have one of those moments where... You know, you made a nice friendly gesture and some, hey, include her in something. And she looked at you and went, I really don't want to.
No.
So maybe it's me.
Yeah, I'm similar to Mary in that I don't like to do things with people.
But here's the thing. I believe that you would have lied to me and done the right thing. You would have lied to me and said, yeah, sure. And you would have gone and you would have pretended you had a good time. And then you would have hated the fact that you lost an hour and a half of your day.
Yeah, that's true. I probably would have gone and then talked about how miserable I was.
At home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Behind my back.
Behind your back.
Yeah.
Like a true American.
So you would have played along and you would have done that because that's what people do.
That's right.
As opposed to Sandberg's route where she tells the truth, looks at me and goes, I really don't want to.
I know. That it came out a little more honest than
I meant it.
I know. I did actually. I felt bad after, which doesn't usually happen with me, even though we should. Healthiest people are the ones who say no and set boundaries.
It's as hard as I've laughed in a long time.
I know. We were laughing pretty hard because it did come out very, very hard. But mostly I just don't like lunching. I find it to be a...
Next thing, you're going to tell me my Old Spice and High Karate mixture of cologne is a bad idea.
So it's not as much Steve, it's just the food and the lunch.
Yeah, my sister always wants me for lunch, too. I don't like going to lunch. I like to have dinner.
Yeah.
I don't know. Lunch, I
You like to do what you want to do when you want to do it.
Exactly. Okay. That is exactly how I like it.
Right. Brian.
Brian must agree.
Hey, I'll sigh.
Brian, how are you? I got White Sox tickets for you. What's the answer to the question?
Zach Duke.
Joe, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Zach Duke,
former Pittsburgh
famous
Pirate.
Zach Duke for Charlie Tilson trade.
Not a bad trade.
I got four tickets to the Sox and Royals for you Sunday at 1:10. Enjoy yourself. And Justin would like to go, so if you need a fourth, call him.
That's right. I'll be there, man. I'll go anywhere with someone from Johnsburg. I love Johnsburg.
Hey, thanks. Thanks, Steve.
All right, hold on a second. It's fine. I was going to ask Charlie Tilson if he wanted to go to lunch as well, but he looked at me and said, I really don't want to go.
A texter said Tilson was supposed to go to the University of Illinois, but he got drafted by the Cardinals, so he just went to baseball instead.
We just found out off the air that our friend Bennett Wakenight, who produces the opening bell with Steve Grzanich, that he went to high school with Charlie Tilson.
Oh, okay. There you go.
The opening bell every morning at 5 o'clock on 720 WG.
Do you got a website?
Couple other texters, 312. How could the water be 213 degrees, Steve? Doesn't water boil at 212?
Mm.
How did he not notice or have the cap blow off from the steam? I don't know. I'm just telling you what was reported. 847, I was at Caesar's Palace when Evel Knievel jumped the fountains. I was 8. He broke every bone in his body. I'm still scarred, and it's 50 years later.
Yeah, I can imagine. You're there for the big event. Then you, oh.
Very nice. Very nice. All right, so it's coming up on 9 o'clock. You heard the tone. We're back with the news in a moment. CLTV joins us on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
9:12, we continue. I've talked before on the show many times about how proud I am of my daughter, who works with kids with autism all the time in their homes as a behavioral analyst. And part of the inspiration she had to get into that particular line of work and the particular line of help in life is my brother Mickey, who just left town. And I always throw out a disclaimer that I have full permission to say what I'm about to say, because it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's something to be proud of. My brother comes from an era in the 60s growing up where autism as a diagnosis didn't exist, but he clearly is high functioning and on the spectrum. And he works for a company in New York that does a lot of placements for folks with special needs called Challenge Industries. They do a nice job. So we thought we'd take an opportunity to focus on the same here and the folks doing the right thing here. So, Sandberg, who's in studio with us?
We have Laura. You know what? I don't know your title.
Yeah, Laura, what is your title? What is your title?
I am the Workforce Development Supervisor at Have Dreams.
And Have Dreams is what?
We are an autism resource agency located in Park Ridge and Evanston.
So kind of like the Challenge Industries folks I was talking about. They're actually in upstate New York, but it sounds like you guys do the same thing.
Yes, we provide services to children from as young as 16 months all the way up through adulthood, and we serve the entire autism spectrum.
And Laura Sletsky, Have Dreams Workforce Development Supervisor.
That's me.
There you go. Gene Kroll is the owner of I Love Sweets, a commercial bakery in Evanston, and a partner with Have Dreams. And Gene, when did you guys get involved?
Good morning, Steve.
Oops, went on. There, let me try this one more time. Gene, there you are.
Good morning, Steve. We got involved with Have Dreams quite a few years ago. We are both in the Evanston West End Industrial District, and we were an employer. We are an employer. We were looking for employees with skills in repetitive labor. We were having a hard time sourcing. At the same time, we were collaborating with Have Dreams on a couple little projects, and we worked together with them to launch Have Dreams Academy,
okay,
which is a workforce training program for young adults with autism, looking to give them the skills they need to succeed in competitive employment. And this program was launched in cooperation with the Coleman Foundation. They gave us seed money to do this.
Great. So in doing this as a business owner, you take on a special set of challenges, but in my world, a special set of victories as well, because you see these folks come in who really want to come to work.
They do really want to come to work, and that's one of the things that we have found really remarkable. We were able to offer our workplace as a place where they could develop the skills they need in employment. Teamwork, interacting with other people, how to communicate. Most of these young people have never had an opportunity to be in the workplace, so they don't understand what they need to do to be successful.
Sure.
And at our workplace, we let them try out their communication skills. We steer them in the right direction. And what we found is that we create employees who add a lot of value to our workplace and other workplaces.
Yeah, that's great.
How much is involved with getting your workplace ready to help other employees that aren't familiar with working with people that might need a different set of skills?
Yeah. So Have Dreams has been terrific with us setting our workplace up for that. They have all the training and the skills they need to guide us, but it's really about employers encouraging their employees to develop their teamwork skills, to be inclusive, to develop leadership and reach out to people who need some guidance, who need a hand. And it's been just such a win for us. It's made a more cohesive workplace. It's made a more unified workplace.
Well, I think it's insightful by you, too, because what you find is you learn so much more when you come in contact with and work with people who have special needs about yourself.
Yes.
And about how to relate to the world than you ever would in the past. So I think it's an opportunity for personal growth for everybody.
For everyone, for the employers and for our young people. We have a young person with us who's been with us 4 years now. He started off as a seasonal employee after he finished his program. He's now an analyst in our food safety program.
That's great.
And he mentors our new interns. So it's just been a terrific opportunity for all of us.
Well, that's the thing I see with my brother. My brother has such pride in not just what he does, but in helping others and what he does as well. And wouldn't it be great if everybody came to work with that kind of attitude? Wouldn't that be swell? So, Laura, the Have Dreams Workforce Development folks, where do you find the folks that come into your program?
So we get a lot of families who call us and say that their child graduated maybe a few years ago from high school, and they've had really a hard time, you know, finding employment, or they've had negative experiences.
Yeah.
There's a very high rate of unemployment for especially high school graduates who are on kind of the higher functioning end of the autism spectrum. So a lot of who we hear from, they hear about Have Dreams through word of mouth. So that's why we're really excited to be here today to try to get the word out about how we're, you know, really working to meet an unmet need in the autism
community. Well, we want to recognize everybody that's doing it, right? I mean, you go into Juul, you'll see a lot of kids at Juul who perform bagging functions and things like that. So any employer who takes the leap, I think they're going to find out, and obviously, Gene, you can speak to this better than the rest of us, that any of the challenges you take on are paid back tenfold.
Tenfold. It's been just such a wonderful experience, and we encourage other employers to take this journey. It benefits you. These are productive young people, and it benefits you in so many ways.
I question about just training. You talked about the negative experience, Laura, as people who are go into certain jobs, they have negative experiences. How do you balance and make sure and collaborate with entrepreneurs to make sure that the training is suitable, that it takes into account the spectrum? How do you do that to make sure that entrepreneurs aren't just, you know, foregoing that kind of stuff and doing a training academy and just, you know, to find new workforce?
Sure. So when we're developing a relationship with a new business partner, we'll go in and kind of observe the workplace. We want to have a sense of what the tasks are like, what the environment is like, so that we can make sure it's structured in a way that's going to work both for the employer and for our intern. We really see ourselves as a resource for both the business and for the participant in our program, and want to make sure that it's a successful experience for both of them. So we might go in, Gene mentioned, we might provide some training to the staff about effective communication strategies in working with someone with autism. We might kind of think about how the work is set up so that it's really structured. That tends to be something that's helpful for people on the spectrum to know exactly what's expected. So we really focus on collaborating with the employee and with the employer to make sure it's a success for everyone.
It's funny, the things they're talking about are helpful even if you don't have autism.
Right.
If everyone in your workplace knew what expectations were and knew the best ways for effective communication and, you know, things were outlined, that would be better for everybody.
There are characteristics, and I'm not being flip at all for obvious reasons here, but there are characteristics of those on the spectrum that we would all wish to have to be more productive at work. You talked about the repetitive nature of what goes on, say, for instance, with your bakery.
Mm-hmm.
That part of the structure is really crucial, isn't it?
It's very crucial. You know, repetitive labor is something that for non-neurotypical, for neurotypical people is maybe not a preferred job, but for these young folks, it's something that they love and they're very good at. Something like, bakery work or also data entry.
Yep.
So there are a myriad of jobs that they can have where they're exercising, doing things that they prefer to do and things that they excel at. And it's up to the employer to think about the jobs they have that they can offer to people who have these kinds of skills.
And I assume anybody that wants more information can contact you because you've gone through this. You're one of the first people to do this.
Yes, and they can also contact Have Dreams. And Laura, what's the website?
The website is www.havedreams.org.
I Love Sweets is a great name for a company. And what'd you make today?
Chocolate chip cookies and banana chocolate chip bread.
I mean, what else do you need? Please.
Yum.
How long have you been in this business?
This is our 20th year.
And how'd you get in?
My grandmothers were amazing bakers, and I'm a fourth-generation entrepreneur.
And you've been awarded as such many times, which I know you're modest about, but you, we certainly should recognize that as well. But in regards to the attraction to doing the help here, are you just a nice person, or do you have a specific connection to this?
I have. The connection I have is that Have Dreams is our neighbor.
Okay.
We
physically
wanted to be
your neighbor?
Physically our neighbor, and we wanted to be a good community partner.
Mm-hmm.
And we really thought of it as a way to create an inclusive workforce and grow our business and just be a good community citizen.
The not pushback, but the reluctance I hear from sometimes of people who go, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't want to upset any of these folks when they come in. I want it to be a good experience, but I also have a business I need to serve and all of those things. Laura, you guys haven't seen anything that could come up as a question that you haven't handled before, so there's no dumb questions here, right? It's just get in.
Right. We hear that a lot from especially our new business partners. They might have had no experience working with someone on the autism spectrum, and it can feel a little daunting.
Sure.
So we have job coaches who are on site with our interns who, again, are a resource both to the intern who might need a little extra support while they're training, but also to the coworkers and the supervisor, and they can model that communication that's going to be most effective. One of the things we've found is that having instructions written down, having a schedule, having things presented visually can really help. That's an easier way for most people on the spectrum to process information. So our job coaches can model that kind of communication, and that often makes it a lot easier for the supervisor and coworker to kind of jump in once they've seen, you know, this is an effective strategy and it's not that scary.
So there is a template for it.
Yes.
Pretty definitely. Much all cases.
Yes. I think also one of the things we find, as Mary mentioned, is as an employer, you really need to set clear expectations for your employees. You need to give them the tools for success, and that means providing the training, providing the support. And that's benefited all our employees, not just the young people on
right.
the spectrum,
right.
But all our employees. And Have Dreams is such a great partner with giving us the autistic-specific tools that we need to create success.
Can you imagine if we had that in show business? We had that in show business where we had order, structure, communication. Please, come on. Imagine what we could do.
And it's also good for your clientele. You know, I know our Mariano's has, they employ people of various special needs as well. And when we're there with our kids and they see everybody's contributing in the workforce of different colors, shapes, sizes, what they bring to the table, don't bring the table. It's like just good overall to... The variety adds to, you know, you still
sure,
treat
diversity.
Respect.
Diversity
yeah, things like that.
Level.
It's not as yeah. scary or intimidating because it's this unseen group. You know, it's all, they're all, we're all people and everybody benefits.
And everybody's got something. It's one of the great things that I've heard over and over again from people. They go, look, you got something, I got something, everybody's got something. So let's help each other get over those speed bumps in life. Talk about the quality of work you're getting.
Wonderful. When we set the expectations and we give the proper training, the quality of work is outstanding. As a small business, we need to be productive. Everyone has to add economic value. And with the right training, the young people that we're bringing in do add economic value. That's a big hitch. A lot of people say, you know, as a small business, I can't bring in a young adult on the spectrum because they're not going to add value. No, they will add value, and they'll add far more than just the skills they bring. The teamwork that we have developed, all the staff is supportive of all these young folks that come in. So it's more than 1 + 1 = 2.
Yeah, you know, again, my reference point being my brother, who is an East Coaster, and there's a big grocery chain there that's around a good chunk of the country called Wegmans. And Challenge Industries puts the folks on the spectrum into these grocery stores. And one of the managers I spoke to at the grocery store says everybody's quality of work went up because the folks that we brought in that were on the spectrum were so driven to do a great job, they caused everybody else to catch up, which is a cool benefit, right?
It is a cool benefit. They are so grateful to have an opportunity
right.
to be employed. It just changes everybody's tone. It changes the environment, and it's really exciting to see.
Yeah, and you know, what do you want at the tired cliche at the end of the day? You want to be able to say you helped, you did something that you felt good about, you're paid a fair wage for your services, and you get to get up tomorrow and do the same thing. And that's what we find, I think, on the spectrum over and over again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's great to do. I love my job. I love my work. My company is wonderful. But to know that we add a little bit more than just great baked goods, that we're creating opportunities for young folks that didn't have any, that's a pretty powerful, powerful message.
Do they get cookies?
They love cookies.
Yeah, who doesn't? Please. What's your website?
www.ilovesweets.com.
And it's a commercial bakery. What's a typical client?
It could be a coffee shop, a cafe, a restaurant, a specialty grocery, or an airline.
Okay. So if anybody's interested, they should jump on the website and check you guys out.
Absolutely.
Thanks for all the help.
Thank you.
It's an important piece of work you're doing aside from the regular day-to-day stuff. And for the foundation again?
The website is www.havedreams.org.
How do you raise your money?
We do a lot of fundraising. We get support from, Gene mentioned, the Coleman Foundation and other foundations who support us.
But it's all private funding, I would assume.
Yes, we're a nonprofit.
Yeah, so for that reason, whatever events you have on the website are important around the year, I would assume, as yes. well, right? Can you make a donation on the website?
Yes, you certainly can.
I know they had a video of a fabulous gala that you've
yes,
put on.
Yes, that just happened in April.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, if they only had a gallery. So, nice to see both of you. Thank you again.
Thank you for
Thank
having
you so
us.
Much,
super trooper beams are gonna blind me, but I won't feel blue.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
940, he's home. Jay Chandrasekhar's here. Super Troopers 2, the DVD is out soon. Is it out when?
July 17th.
Digital's out already. It came out right before 4th of July, right?
Yeah, July 3rd. Good to see you.
Yeah, and Justin, you and Justin go back a long way. It's the first time you've been on the show, so it's good to see you. But did you do anything fun now that you're home?
Yesterday,
see your family?
I went and threw out the first pitch at Wrigley Field. I was supposed to throw it out April 14th or 15th, and it was
snowing.
17 degrees and snowing.
Yeah.
And the Cubs played the day before, and I think everybody really complained a whole lot, and so they just canceled the game I was supposed to go to.
Did they show you? They used to do it this way. I don't know if they still do. Did they show you a video of how to throw out the first pitch and sing? Because they used to take you in a room, they'd show you a video, and said, watch this, you have to watch this, and then they'd tell you how to sing the seventh inning stretch.
I don't know. I mean, you know, I've threw out the first pitch in San Diego for the Padres, and...
Yeah, the keys don't bounce it.
The keys don't bounce it, but they, all the players kind of like, they think you're like this Hollywood actor and has no idea how to throw a ball, and they kind of want you to bounce it.
Right.
So this notion that they're going to advance, help you out with a video, that certainly didn't happen.
Well, it was idiotic.
It didn't happen in Chicago. And by the way, I played some baseball. I know how to throw baseball, and I decided I'm going to throw it as hard as I can. I didn't quite do that.
Right?
They're like, get up on the mound. I'm like, okay, I'll get up on the mound.
Did you get a piece of the plate, throw a strike?
I threw it like low and outside.
Okay.
If you were like
breaking ball.
So if you're a right-hander, you'd chase it.
Like if Javi Baez 2 years ago would have chased it.
Right.
Right. Then now all-star Javi Baez, no.
Yeah. No. But it's fun.
Yeah, that was great.
Jay, last time we had you here, you were with the whole crew, Broken Lizard, talking about Super Troopers 2 theatrical release. Congratulations on the success of the film. It was better than expectations in what the theatrical release was going to be. But Super Troopers made its name on DVD release, VHS even. But the concept that it lived much longer than its theatrical release. Are you anticipating the same thing with Super Troopers 2?
I just think that what happened with that first film was a complete surprise. So to expect a complete surprise to happen again, I mean, no way. I don't know. I mean, I think if I were a fan, I would probably be inclined to wanna get both and watch both. You know, people still do that.
Right.
But who knows?
But when you built a family in like that, when you built a following in like that, you got to believe they're going to see two.
I would imagine so. You know, for those who did decide to be like, oh, wait for home video, I think they didn't need a big push to get there. I think you're probably right. Yeah.
Steve, Jay, the story of Super Troopers and Broken Lizard is one of the most successful stories in indie comedy history. Explain the numbers, because to make Super Troopers, what, $1 million?
We made it for $1.26 million.
That's okay. Catering on most
That's
movies.
Catering, okay, right, right.
Yes.
Okay, so then you get the theater, and it's a modest theater.
We sold it to Fox Searchlight for $3.25, and then it came out in the theaters, and it made about $20.
Right there, you're like, what a success story.
Yeah, 7-1, not bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Now.
and then another maybe five internationally. And then on home video, it made $80 million.
Super Troopers became the college favorite.
Crazy.
Everyone who lived in a dorm had to have a copy of it. It became a party movie that lived way beyond its release. Its
I don't know any
release.
Movie that you could show that math. I made it for $1 million. It made 80 plus.
That's outrageous.
And we've talked about it. The only reason I bring this up is because we've had this conversation many a time, but it's still not a green light for Broken Lizard, the collective behind the film, to make Super Troopers 2. Like Hollywood, they could crowdsource to make this movie. They had to go to their fans to get movie because Hollywood's like, I'm not sure the economics work. It's
well, because you have to have a series of mind-numbing meetings with people who will look you in the eye and tell you one thing and do another and then ask you to put a chase scene in. Or maybe find a guy with a superhero outfit. So how'd you get it through?
Well, that's the exact thing that you just said, is that Hollywood, they basically said, look, we know it's going to make money. Obviously, the first one did. But we don't know if it's going to make enough money. And we want to put all our money into capes and tights and, you know.
Right.
And look at Ant-Man. It was a huge success this weekend.
Right.
And the country can't stop watching superhero movies. They seemingly are never going to get tired of it. But it'll happen.
At some point.
But right now, the money is going towards superhero movies because that's the money that's paying off. But we've made a number of independent films, and you can sit there and cry about it or make a superhero movie, or you can figure out another way to get the money.
But you've had the success, so when you go out and look for funding in the independent genre or the category, is it easier to find the funding?
Well, look, I mean, we have investors who, made 10 times their money. So
they better step up.
Yeah, they stepped up, and new investors are like, well, that's a good return. I'll take a swing at it.
The other thing too, Broken Lizard, because of that unbelievable success and loyalty from your fan base, the fans stepped up to make this film. Super Troopers 2 famously and successfully a crowdsourced independent film. I mean, how much did you have to raise from actual Broken Lizard fans?
We raised $4.6 million from 55,000 fans.
That's very cool.
Isn't that cool?
It's so cool.
Now, the way it normally works is you give out premiums depending on your level of contribution. So how many dinners did you have with Super Trooper fans?
Quite a few. I mean, we sold the right to chug against us.
Oh, that's funny.
So we would go into town and we'd meet at a bar and we would, all get like these huge pints and down them. And most of the time, we would smoke those people who paid for that chance to drink against us, because we're pretty professional. And then, sometimes you'd hang out with them till the end of the night. I mean, it's fun.
Well, for the beer fest guy, though, I would guess you get challenges for everywhere you go, right? If you're anywhere near a bar, somebody wants to see what you got.
It's true. People do want to challenge and see if they can beat me in a chug. And it used to be that we would just beat everybody. But in the intervening years, all these sort of young guys and women are training on our movie. And the ones who approach you now are fast. And they come in because they have a very good feeling that they're going to do well. Right. And they want to get it on video, and they get it on video.
But you're a competitive guy. You're not going to roll over.
No, never.
That's it.
No, I mean, I talk an immense amount of crap right before I get my tail kicked.
More in a moment. Jay Chandrasekhar is here. And again, Super Troopers 2 release when?
The DVD is July 17th, and the digital download's available right now.
When we're talking about DVDs, yes, people still get DVDs.
That's surprising.
$9.52, Bill and Wendy at 10. Jay Chandrasekhar is here. All right, so, Justin, you know this. Yeah. Very celebrated television director.
Yeah, Jay.
I pitched him 12 projects during that last commercial break.
You know, among, of course, his success with Broken Lizard and Super Troopers and Beer Fest, Jay has been a television director, Arrested Development, New Girl, shows that continue. For you right now, I mean, we've had conversations with people on this program talking about the golden age of television, and it's an unbelievable time because of all the streaming networks and the opportunities available. Do you see it that way as a television director, someone who's made your name in television?
Yeah, I mean, there's an immense amount of great television happening right now. And we're all in Hollywood wondering, when's the bubble going to burst? Sometimes you wonder, are there enough people to watch all these shows?
Right.
But, you know, luckily, one of the good things about these sort of major internet companies is they seem to have come to the realization that, you know, phones can only work so quickly. And whatever their machines are can only do, you know, once they sell us one or two of them, there's not the market is going to end. And so I think they've all, including Apple, decided to get into the what they call content business.
Right. Yeah. You know, what's funny is and we're all the same generation, though I'm clearly the old guy. The notion of watching screens as opposed to watching a giant television in a particular room. Forget about watching it when it's scheduled to be on. Those days are over.
Yeah.
But the on-demand world, is there going to be a pushback at some time or at some point where kids are going to go, I'm a little older now. I don't want to stare at my phone or I don't want to stare at an iPad. I want to watch it on a wall.
You mean go back to the movie business?
Well, I just think the delivery for television, the delivery system for television, which now for kids goes here, I'm holding up my phone, or goes to an iPad. I think eventually as an adult, it goes to, I want to sit in a chair and I want to watch it on a wall.
You might be right. I swear, if you look at the kids nowadays, it's hard to see that coming.
Yeah.
They just are constantly watching video. Constantly.
Do you have to change your, as a professional, as a director for television, with the advent of all this, the different platforms to distribute the actual content, do you have to change your skill? Do you have to think about how you direct based on how they're watching it?
Well, I do. I mean, you know, there's nothing you can do about kids and moms and anybody who's watching TV while they're watching their phone.
Right.
You see it all the time. I tell my daughter, I'm like, put your phone away and have some respect for the television that I'm creating out there. And but ultimately, I don't know.
You know what paid for your phone? That TV show right there.
But we will shoot, at least I will, I'll shoot certain shots a little closer sometimes, so that they has some impact on, if I believe that most people are going to watch it on their phone, I'll shoot the close-ups a little closer.
Let me, for you to have a career that spans even before Arrested Development, which the episodes you did are iconic. I mean, just looking at the IMDb to think of the first seasons of Arrested Development, 2003, 2004, to what you're doing today in 2018, how have you evolved as a television director? What do you see you've gotten better at over the course of a decade?
Ultimately, you know, film and television production is all about like time management. And so you have 12 hours in a day to collect the shots you need that will make up the scene. So I used to shoot a lot of more different shots that were never going to go on TV. And when I would cut them together, I'm like, I didn't use those four shots. And I wasted an hour and 20 minutes getting them.
Right.
And the, you know, and the creator who does the final cut, they didn't use the shots either. And they knew they were there. And so now I shoot the shots that are really going to go on TV. And so I end up spending my 12 hours on the, you know, they're closer, like shots of singles and close-ups and whatever, where most of television really lives, and I spend the most time on those.
So you've gotten more efficient.
And much less time. Yeah, that's a long way of me saying I've gotten more efficient. It was an inefficient way of me saying I got more efficient.
Did you ever imagine when you were a funny guy at Colgate that you would grow up and be a television director, a writer? And you know, I mean, you're doing what everybody in comedy ought to be doing. You're doing every job.
You know, I do every job. At first, the reason I started that was because I couldn't afford to hire an editor. So I'm like, I better just learn how to do it because it looks like I can do this.
And so it came out of necessity.
It came out of necessity. And, you know, I was an Indian guy trying to get acting roles in Hollywood. And at that time, they were really taking white guys and putting them in brownface. And they were like, anything but you use a real Indian.
Yeah.
So I was like,
you're way too Indian to play an Indian.
I figured the best way for me to do this would be to learn how to write scripts then direct them and then cast myself in the role, which was, that was a necessity. The only way I was going to get on screen was if I became a director.
It's a Rocky Balboa move, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm only going to sell
that's
you right. Rocky if I'm in Rocky.
The Rocky Balboa of party movies.
That's right.
What's next?
Well, I wrote this film called American Indian, which is basically, I play like a you know, Democrat, whatever, in Chicago, and I go down to Austin for the weekend, and I have a fling, and I end up impregnating a white pro-life Republican woman, and she's like, I'm having the baby with or without you. And so the movie is about the wedding, and you know, she's keeping the pregnancy a secret from her family. And so it's like, you know, her father's a tribalist, you know, like a Texas tribalist.
Sure.
And the movie is about language, and it's about political correctness and what we used to be able to say, what we can't say, what we're not, you know, and just really about this sort of political moment. But it's a funny wedding movie with very naughty language.
Which leaves me with this. Your homework is to go and watch the Stephen Colbert hit that you did a year or so ago when you discussed your middle name and what the literal meaning of it was. Kids, go do that. That's your homework for today, because we can't talk about it on WGN.
I can say my middle name, but I can't say what it means.
Yeah, what is the middle name?
Well, my full name is Jayanth Jumbalingam Chandrasekhar.
Yeah, Jumbalingam is your secret word of the day. Jumbalingam.
That's right.
Nice to see you. Congrats on all the success.
Good to see you, Jay.
Thank you.
Super Troopers 2. Go get your copy. Bill and Wendy next.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Bill and Wendy are here, and thanks again. You're a good guy, Justin Spell.
I love
Chandrasekhar.
That guy. Jay Chandrasekhar. Those movies are great. Check out Super Troopers 2. A sequel 13 years after the fact? Something like 15, 18 years after?
Why not?
And a film that made $100 million?
Yeah. And they made it for $8.
They made it for $8.
Yeah.
You know, Steve, you were talking about watching TVs on different screens.
Yeah.
I now prefer watching TV on my computer.
Mm. Is that right?
If I have a choice, even by shows, I'll pick a show that I can watch, put the laptop on my lap, and sit in a chair.
Could you see a time where you didn't have a TV on the wall?
Yeah. I could. I think so. The only thing is you lose sort of the communal viewing. But if you're watching a show on your own, put your headphones on. I love that.
There's a theory amongst orthopedists that we will evolve into people with curved spines all over, because nobody's going to sit in regular positions anymore, because you're all going to be sort of slumped over or leaned back, even in offices, looking at iPads or at phones. And there won't be any sort of 90-degree watching of screens.
I'm okay with that. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Make it easier to find dropped money.
It's one thought.
Half full, that's what he is.
One thought, there's no question.
Will that happen this week, Steve, or in the future? You're saying in the future.
Evolution generally takes more than 24 hours.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. Right. Well, did you guys notice how much Dave has changed since he came back from Norway?
A lot.
I mean,
Do you like the
Viking Dave. Helmet? The Viking like helmet, the I think, looks is good a hot on look.
Yes.
Thank you.
Hey, Wendy, what are you doing for lunch? You want to go?
I'm good to pass on lunch. Although I would still go with you if you asked. I wouldn't say, I really don't want to.
No, it's this. I really don't want to.
Not just don't want to. The stress is unreally.
I respect honesty, though.
Yeah.
No beating around the bush.
Not so much. I like to be lied to. Yeah. See you tomorrow.